Baseball Leagues Incorporated. For the private use of our audience, any reproduction, rebroadcast, retransmission, or other dissemination or use of this broadcast, descriptions, or accounts of this game without the express written consent of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues Incorporated is prohibited. Fayetteville Woodpeckers Baseball is live from the sand hills of North Carolina to the coastal plains and from state line to state line. This is the Fayetteville Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Welcome to the Woodpeckers pregame show. Getting you set for first pitch. Let's send you out to the stadium.
Saturday Night Baseball is around the corner from downtown Fayetteville, North Carolina. The River Dogs and the Woodpeckers squaring off in Game 5 of 6 live on a sunny Saturday at Segra Stadium. Hello, everybody. Welcome inside the broadcast booth. It is great to be back with you once again. My name is Andrew Chapman. I'm alongside Colin Casey, and we are ready to bring you all nine innings tonight of Woodpeckers baseball live on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Our broadcast findable on FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com for online radio, as well as the MILB First Pitch app. And you can also watch today's game in HD video quality by subscribing to MILB.TV. Use the promo code Woodpeckers at checkout and get $10 off your annual subscription so you can watch the Woodpeckers for the rest of 2022 and all of 2023. Game 5 of the series tonight, the River Dogs carry a 3-1 lead. Fayetteville needed a win at some point this week. They got that on Wednesday. It ended a franchise record 11-game losing streak, a 3-0 win, but Charleston has come back with a vengeance. They won 12-3 on Thursday, 7-1 yesterday, Colin, in a game that was tied over the first four innings before Charleston really started to hit Nick Swanson hard. 3 home runs in that inning to go in front big 6-1. They added another run later against Peyton Plumlee. But despite that one big fifth inning, the Woodpeckers had a good bullpen effort, and they kept the Charleston River Dogs relatively quiet outside of that big fifth.
Yeah, and on top of that, Nick Swanson got off to a great start in that game, giving up just the one run over the first four innings. He was pretty solidly in control after issuing a couple of back-to-back leadoff walks to begin the ball game. But again, yeah, that fifth inning really kind of set things in motion for the Charleston River Dogs, as it has really all series long. It seems like they've had those one big innings in each of their three wins so far. They had the big one in the first game in the first inning when they put up 3 runs, then a big 6-run fourth inning in game 3. So it's been the MO for the River Dogs in this game, and really all season long for them. Big reason why they have 79 victories. So I think that's the goal for Fayetteville today, is just don't give up any big-time multi-run innings. They were able to shut them out in Game 2, and that proved to be the easiest way to beat them, but it's easier said than done for pretty much any team in the Carolina League. But good pitching matchup, I think a favorable one for the Woodpeckers, and we'll see if they're able to try to work their way back towards securing a split against the top team in the South Division.
Yeah, the man on the mound tonight is right-hander Dalen Miley, 3-7 with a 5.09 ERA coming into this one. He'll be opposed by a left-hander who's been with the River Dogs all year long and put up some solid numbers, Antonio Jimenez, 9-4 with a 3.55 ERA. One thing to note tonight regarding the Fayetteville pitching staff that we'll see at some point during the middle innings is the rehab appearance of right-hander Andre Scrub, who pitches for the Woodpeckers for the first time on rehab assignment from the Sugarland Space Cowboys. Andre Scrub has pitched at the big league level with the Houston Astros, a former L.A. Dodger farmhand. Cool story about Andre is that he was born on Fort Bragg right down the road, and he went to High Point University in High Point, North Carolina. So this is a homecoming for Andre, and he will be out of the bullpen tonight, scheduled to go immediately following the conclusion of Dalen Miley's outing, whenever that is. So looking forward to talking that as the night goes on. A quick look at the Carolina League standings picture. Woodpeckers officially eliminated from playoff contention in 2022, that is, at 17-35, 16 games back with 14 games to play in the regular season of the first place Charleston River Dogs. They're 33-19. 3.5 games back is the Columbia Fireflies, followed by the Kannapolis Cannonballers. Really shaping up to be a two-team race down the final 2 weeks of the regular season. Augusta is in fourth, and then Myrtle Beach 9 games out there in fifth. Meanwhile, in the North Division, the Fredericksburg Nationals are 32-19 in the second half. They have a 3.5 game lead over the Carolina Mudcats, trying to end their long playoff drought dating back to 2009. Down East is still in the picture, 5.5 games out, 27-25 in the second half. Salem falling back, though, Delmarva as well, and Lynchburg. Those are the bottom three teams in the Carolina League North Division. Woodpeckers trying to grab a second win over the Charleston River Dogs. They never have won 2 games over a series in the head-to-head history against Charleston. They'll see what Dalen Miley can do in the early innings tonight. And first pitch coming up at 5:05 Eastern, around the corner. We'll step aside for a brief break as the Woodpeckers get introduced on the diamond, and we'll bring you the singing of the national anthem as well. And first pitch, starting lineups, all of that and more when the pregame show continues in a moment right here on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Interested in keeping up with all things Woodpeckers? Follow the Fayetteville Woodpeckers on social media for team news, highlights, ticket information, promotions, and more. The Woodpeckers can be found on Facebook by searching Fayetteville Woodpeckers, as well as on Twitter at WoodpeckersNC and Instagram at Fayetteville Woodpeckers. You can also follow the team's all-new TikTok page at Fay Woodpeckers. For more information on how to access your favorite Carolina League team on social media, visit MILB.com/Fayetteville.
H&H Homes, one of the largest home builders in North and South Carolina, based out of Fayetteville and a proud partner of the Woodpeckers, with over 30 neighborhoods to choose from, ranging from the 160s to the mid-300s. Discover why over 7,000 families have decided to call an H&H Home home since 1992. Don't wait to learn more. Visit them online at hhhomes.com or follow them on Facebook and Instagram. H&H Homes, building homes with more livability, more sustainability, and more value.
The Bird's Nest Team Store is the place to pick up merchandise for your favorite Carolina League team. Located next to the front gates at Segra Stadium, the Bird's Nest has a wide selection of Woodpeckers team gear, from hats and t-shirts to commemorative baseballs and bats. Can't make it to the team store? Check us out online at FayettevilleWoodpeckers.milbstore.com to shop for all merchandise, including the Woodpeckers 1970s throwback collection worn on-field throughout 2022. Again, that's FayettevilleWoodpeckers.milbstore.com.
The twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets regular, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave for the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Let's hear it from Morgan Greenlee and tonight's Field of Dreams team, Diamond Dreams Softball.
Straight from the ballpark, it's time to dig in for some Woodpeckers baseball. Now, here's the voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
Peckers Baseball is live wherever you are from downtown Fayetteville, North Carolina tonight. It is time for Game 5 of 6 between the Woodpeckers and the River Dogs, the single-A affiliates of the Houston Astros and the Tampa Bay Rays. Hello again, everybody. Andrew Chapman alongside Colin Casey. Thanks for making us a part of your Saturday night plans. FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com and MILB.TV tonight, where our broadcast is streaming live. Fayetteville trying to bounce back from a brief two-game skid, but they have dropped 13 of their last 14 games. The lone win in this series coming on Wednesday night, a 3-0 combined shutout over these Charleston River Dogs, who entered tonight with the best overall record in all of minor league baseball, trying for win number 80 tonight. They're 79-39, 13-19 in the second half of play, a 3.5-game lead over the Columbia Fireflies for first place in the Carolina League South Division. Fayetteville, they're at 48-69 now, trying to avoid their 70th loss of the season, a 17-35 second half record. And they hope that Dalen Miley can give them a solid start in this one. Miley carrying a 3-7 record and a 5.09 ERA into his 22nd appearance and 13th start, that is, for Fayetteville. 70 2/3 innings, he's given up 40 earned runs, along with only 3 home runs. He's limited the long ball, 54 walks and 87 strikeouts for Miley, the 24-year-old out of Bellarmine University and from Toledo, Ohio. So let's go ahead and meet the starting lineup for the River Dogs. Again, the top team in the Carolina League, best record in all of minor league baseball. They're led by second-year skipper Blake Butera. It leads off with right-handed hitting DH Shane Sasaki. Carson Williams, the first-round pick, will bat second and play it short. Ryan Spikes, the third-rounder. He's at second base hitting third, and Junior Caminero, the third baseman, hits cleanup. Blake Robertson at first. He'll be a fifth. Brock Jones is sixth. He's in center. O'Neill Menzueta, the seven bat in right. Nate Perry, the catcher, is eighth. And Diwar Castellanos rounds out the starting nine for the River Dogs. Dalen Miley is set at the shoulders, and his first pitch to Shane Sasaki is shoulder level. A high fastball, and it is 1-0. We are underway in Fayetteville at 5:09 p.m., and it is a beautiful, sunny Saturday, 90 degrees at first pitch. Sasaki gets underneath this one, a soaring fly ball into medium center field. Jacob Melton with the sunglasses on, waiting for it to come down. He brings it in, and there's one away. Sasaki flies out. Carson Williams is coming to the plate, and Colin has the rest of the Woodpeckers' defensive alignment for this one.
Fayetteville committing a pair of errors in last night's 7-1 loss. Ryan Robleski back behind the plate doing the catching for Dalen Miley. Garrett McGowan is at first base. Tommy Sacco, the second baseman. Jackson Lofton at shortstop. Zach DiCenzo draws back in the lineup. He is at third, left to right in the outfield. Colin Price, Jacob Melton, and Zach Cole for first-year manager Joe Thon.
And now Carson Williams, who homered yesterday high off of the center field batter's eye, steps in for the first time tonight. 252 hitter, now with the team-high 17 home runs. He's driven in 65, 103 total hits on the year. There's a changeup, fades its way in, and it's 1-1. On Carson Williams. He also has 21 doubles, 10 triples leads the team, 50 walks to 154 strikeouts. The pitch, he swings and misses. So he leads the team in a lot of the power metrics, but there has been some swing and miss for Williams, expected being just a teenager playing full season professional baseball, drafted out of the San Diego area. Here's the 1-2 pitch, and he stays off a slider down and outside. Carson, had he not gone pro, hard not to when you're drafted first round, but he would have gone on to play college ball in the Pac-12 for Cal out in the Bay Area. Would have been competing against Brock Jones at Stanford. Here's the 2-2 pitch, and a fastball painted on the outside corner. Got him looking. Dalen Miley with 2 quick outs in the top of the first. Used a good mix of speeds there to take down Williams, bring up Ryan Spikes.
I talked in the pregame show about Miley's struggles as a starting pitcher this season, but his last 2 starts here in the month of August have been very strong. 5 innings apiece, 2 earned runs or less in both of those appearances, so he's starting to get a feel for being the first guy out there on the mound.
So here is Ryan Spikes. He checks too far at the first one, a slider that was low. He crossed the plane, and it is 0-1. Dalen coming off a good outing his last time. That was on the road against the Carolina Mudcats and Zebulon on August 20th. Here's his kick and pitch. A slider to the outside corner, looked at for strike two, and he's quickly ahead. Nothing and two. Miley went five innings in that game, gave up two runs, just one earned on two total hits. He walked four and tied a season high with eight strikeouts. No doubt a confidence injection for him. The 0-2 to Spikes is pushed foul right side and into the netting. Spikes examines the bat, and it looks like he broke the lumbar.
Sounded like it, too.
Yeah, loud crack coming off the end of the bat there. He fought away a slider. The Woodpeckers tonight are in a unique uniform. It is Nickelodeon Legends of the Forbidden Temple night. And they have a Legends of the Forbidden Temple uniform on. It has a gray look at the shoulders, Woodpeckers in white across the chest. And then the Forbidden Temple logo, a yellow stripe with the temple coin on the front of that uniform. And a number of hieroglyphic images as well on a black bottom of the torso. And then the standard white pant with the black pinstripe, high black socks for Dalen Miley. They wear their standard black Woodpeckers ball caps. Here comes the one ball, two strike pitch, and a swing and a miss, and a breaking ball down to the dirt. Dalen Miley goes 1-2-3 and strikes out a pair in his first inning tonight. Gets a high fry from his catcher, Robleski, walking off the diamond. The Woodpeckers are coming to bat for the first time in the bottom of the first. Jackson Lofton, Jacob Melton, and Zach DiCenzo lead it off. We have the rest of the Woodpeckers starting lineup as well when we return on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Bunker's Entrance is brought to you by Cumberland Tractor Kubota of Fayetteville. Visit their location at 1530 Middle River Loop here in Fayetteville for a variety of services and Kubota equipment. Fans, make some noise. It's Bunker! Want free tacos? Well, if the Woodpeckers run score six runs tonight, all fans in attendance will win a free taco from El Cazador. If the magic number hits, fans will receive a coupon on their way out tonight. Coupons are redeemable at any location here in Fayetteville. Say we want tacos with me on three. One, two, three. For the River Dogs, Antonio Jimenez. Tonight's Woodpeckers walk-up music is presented by the Big 95.7 WKML. Leading off the bottom of the first inning for the Woodpeckers, the shortstop, number 22, Jackson Lofton.
Bottom one, we're just underway from downtown Fayetteville. Woodpeckers and River Dogs, no score for Charleston. They went down in order. A couple of strikeouts for Dalen Miley in the top of the first. And now Jackson Lofton leads it off against the left-hander Antonio Jimenez. Pitch is grounded foul left side, and Jackson Lofton broke the lumbar. He'll have to go back to the dugout and get a new stick. Allows us to give you Antonio Jimenez's numbers this year. 9-4 record, 3.55 ERA. Pitching in his 14th game of the year and making his 19th start. He also has five relief appearances. 24th game, that is, 96 and a third total innings for Jimenez. He has given up 38 earned runs, 7 home runs, 47 walks to 109 strikeouts. So he's really racked up the K's. He's tied for the team lead, along with Ben Peoples, who we saw earlier this week. And a good chance Jimenez will pass up Ben by the end of his start today. Fastball is, changeup that is up high to Lofton. Two balls and one strike. Lofton, then Jacob Melton and Zach DiCenzo. Colin Price is the cleanup hitter. Tyler Whitaker, fifth. He's the DH as Lofton lays off, but a changeup is in there for strike two. Tommy Sacco, the switch hitter, is seventh, followed by the sixth bat, Zach Cole. Ryan Wroblewski will catch. He hits eighth, and then Garrett McGowan rounds it out. Lofton swings and misses, and there's strikeout 110 of the regular season for Antonio Jimenez to give him the team lead. There is one away. Left-hander Jacob Melton coming up, and Colin has the River Dogs defense for you.
Yeah, Lake Fayetteville last night, Charleston with a pair of errors in the victory. Nate Perry behind the plate for the first time in this series and his return to Fayetteville. First baseman is Blake Robertson. First pitch misses down and away. Ryan Spikes at second. Carson Williams, a shortstop, and Junior Caminero is at third, left to right in the outfield. Dyer Castellanos, Brock Jones, and O'Neill Manzueta.
Pitch is low to Melton. And it's 2-0. Lefty on lefty, and the pitch is swung on and missed. A slider got him chasing. 2-1. Charleston also in a gray uniform today, so those Legends of the Hidden Temple uniforms are also a little confusing. They're almost the same color scheme going on. Melton takes the slider outside. It's 3-1. But Charleston in the grays, River Dogs in yellow and blue across the chest. The pitch. Melton chops it along first. That ball staying fair, and it's fielded right on top of the first base bag by Robertson to force out Jacob Melton. Looked like that ball was going to go foul for a moment, then it had a little bit of side spin that kept it on the left side of the chalk. So two outs, Zach DiZenzo coming up. A navy blue belt for Charleston. They have the gray pants with the navy blue pinstripe down the leg. If the Woodpeckers were wearing gray, we'd be in a tough spot today, but they at least have the white pants to differentiate themselves as DiZenzo takes a fastball strike. And then the two-tone ball cap, the navy blue cap with the gray bill and the Charleston River Dog right on the front of that cap. Antonio Jimenez kind of rocks back and forth as he gets the sign. He winds, pitches, and a lazy pop fly is hit foul into the first base camera well for strike two to DiZenzo.
Looks a little familiar, doesn't it?
What's that? The Charleston uniforms?
Oh, no, I'm talking about the Rock and the Baby. I know Astros fans are very familiar with it.
Oh, the pitch is a little bit high. Yeah, Luis Garcia to Antonio Jimenez for sure. For Jimenez, though, once he gets the sign and he starts his motion, then he kind of gets into a normal windup as the slider missed just a little bit low. Tough one to take for DiZenzo, but it's now 2-2. You know, for Garcia, the rocking continues even after he takes that first step back and all the way into his leg kick. Antonio Jimenez will try the 2-2, and DiZenzo strikes out swinging on a high changeup. It's a 1-2-3 inning for Fayetteville as well. Two strikeouts for Jimenez, just like Miley. Dalen going back out there for the second as we look for our first base runner in this one. Top two is next.
Industry Smile Cam. Segra provides Segra Stadium with free public Wi-Fi. Log on now by selecting hashtag GoSegra. Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Dalen Miley. Listen to this.
Leading off the top of the second inning for the River Dogs, the third baseman, number 37, Junior Caminero.
Dalen Miley back with the ball in hand as he goes to the mound for inning number two. Top two, no score after one. Junior Caminero, the first to face the right-hander Miley, and his first pitch is just off the outside, a fastball that didn't miss by much, and it is 1-0. Stephen Craze is calling balls and strikes today, and Trey Jester is working the bases, the two-man umpiring crew in the black ball caps, black polos, and gray pants. Here's the 1-0 pitch. And he sticks the bat out, pops this out to shallow center. Price sprinting forward, Lofton going out, gives way to the oncoming left fielder. Price with the catch, and there's one gone. Four in a row set down by Dalen Miley to start his night. Slider looking good for him in the start of this one. Ryan Spikes went down swinging at the slider to end the first inning, and that was a breaking ball that caused Caminero to extend too far outside the zone.
And generally speaking, all season long, Chappie, that slider has looked good at times. Maybe a little location issue here and there towards the middle of the season, but over the last month, it's been his best pitch, like it really has been since April.
Now it's Blake Robertson, and the first pitch he thought was in, but it's called a strike. 0-1. I think the fastball velocity is starting to get a little bit up there, too, for Miley, closer to where he wanted it at the beginning of the season, and that only makes the slider more effective when you change the speeds. There's the breaker. Right to the middle of the zone, and it's nothing and two quickly on Robertson. He's gotten ahead of pretty much every hitter so far. Robertson comes into this AB batting 240 with a home run and five driven in. And he strikes out on three pitches. A changeup on the inside gets him looking. Robertson with some parting words for Stephen Craze. He thought a couple of those pitches were inside. Looks like he was standing fairly close to the plate, so that might have caused the disagreement. But Miley has three strikeouts now over the first five batters faced, two of them looking. And he faces another left-hander in Brock Jones, the second rounder by the Tampa Bay Rays. Here's the set for Miley, working exclusively out of the stretch, and a first pitch slider falls in. It's strike one.
I'll tell you what, Robertson might have a point there. That was an excellent frame job by the catcher, Ryan Robleski. Just didn't even move his mitt. Made it look like it was on the corner, but it did look about an inch or two inside.
And the pitch is a little bit low. One ball and one strike. Two away, bases empty, no score. This game without a base runner so far. Vandal will have the middle three of their order scheduled in the bottom of the second. Price, Whitaker, and Cole. And here comes Miley's 1-1. A swing and a line drive towards the middle. That'll get into right center field. There's the first base runner of the game, a Brock Jones two-out single. And he is on to extend the second for O'Neill Manzueta. Jones coming in batting 286. That's his third hit so far with Charleston debuting in this series. Made his debut on Tuesday night.
His first single. Couple of doubles, yeah. His first two were extra base hits. Hit one in the left center field gap and pulled one down the right field line. Here he got jammed a little bit by Miley, but able to muscle it into right center field.
First one to Manzueta is an off speed right down the middle. Dalen Miley's been keen to start at bats with the slider, doing some of that backwards pitching, keep those hitters guessing. Now a right-hander to deal with in Manzueta, who hit a two-run home run the opposite way out to Healy's Bar yesterday. Here's the 0-1, and he swings and misses at a high fastball, a back pick up the first baseline, and it gets into right field. Cole has to back up the play, but Jones pops to his feet, hustles down to second, and Robleski will be hit with a throwing error, an E2. Garrett McGowan was sort of in the area, but was not on the bag, we can tell you that much, so it led to Robleski throwing off of the bag to try and connect with McGowan, and it looked like the timing wasn't quite there between catcher and first baseman. It allows Jones to get into scoring position with two outs.
They hit the nail on the head. There was a play to be had there, but McGowan wasn't ready for that throw.
It was a strike to Manzueta. Now the 0-2 pitch is a slider that dives down and away. One ball and two strikes. The home run yesterday for O'Neill was number 8 on the season. He's driven in 44. It was a two-run home run. He's batting .243 with an on base at .354. Pretty respectable number there. 15 doubles this year as well for Mansueta. And he swings and hits this one deep out of the left field. Price sprinting back. He gets to the wall. It is gone by plenty. On to the berm. A two-run home run starts the scoring tonight. O'Neill Mansueta has left the yard for his second straight day. His ninth home run of the year. Second two-run home run of this series. And it's 2-0 Charleston in the top of the second.
One of the perceived weaknesses for the River Dogs all season long has been they've been kind of a middle-of-the-pack power team as far as home runs, but if this is the way they're going to swing the bat throughout the month of August and into September postseason beginning, I don't know if there's any team in the Carolina League that can beat them with just how well-rounded they are offensively. It's now five home runs in the last 11 innings.
And now it's Nathan Perry. The first pitch to Nate misses down to the dirt. And it's one ball and no strikes. Homecoming this week for Nate. And playing against his former team from 2021. He had a solo home run yesterday. Almost put it all the way to the train tracks on the fly. His fourth with the River Dogs. And he also made a great catch on the defensive end. The 1-0 is an inside fastball. 92. And it's two balls and no strikes.
Ball had to be hit well over 400 feet.
Yeah,
well,
it almost cleared the grass out there over the left center field Woodpeckers bullpen. Here's the 2-0 pitch from Miley. Perry taking the whole way. A fastball is center cut, two balls and a strike. His catch yesterday was made over at first base on a ball that pulled him out into shallow right. He was moving along the foul line and then made a sliding over-the-shoulder bucket-style one-handed grab. And it was a great play. Here's the 2-1, and it is a slider that falls in. Good pitch, 2-2. We didn't think that Nate Perry would be catching this week, or we at least thought it would primarily be Julio Meza, Kenny Piper. It had been to this point, but Nate does put the gear on today. We'll get at least one day to catch. 2-2, and Perry swats one foul, puts it up towards our direction, and it'll stay where it is, two balls and two strikes. Nate Perry now at .229 on the regular season. That's right around where he was hitting with the Woodpeckers. He was, I think, in the high teens by the time he was done playing for the Woodpeckers. Here's the pitch. And it is a slider a little high. Full count on Perry. It is a 2-0 Charleston lead. Dalen Miley had retired five in a row. Thought he was in for another quick second. But a single by Brock Jones and a home run from O'Neill Mansueta have made him labor. Chest high set and the 3-2 payoff. Perry fights it away, pulls it foul, and hit it down the stairwell of the Woodpeckers dugout. That was Tyler Whitaker that had to dodge out of the way of that one. I think everybody's okay down there. Whitaker DHing today. He's not in the field. A day off from the defensive side of things. Shift is on to Zenzo over towards short. Lofton playing up the middle. And the 3-2 again. Perry strikes out swinging on a fastball. Dalen Miley has already K'd four over two innings, but he gives up the long ball. Two-run home run from O'Neill Mansueta. And as we go to the bottom of the second, the River Dogs carry a 2-0 lead.
Hey, fans! You know what time it is. It's T-shirt time! Get on your feet for the Brian Hunter T-shirt toss. She was singing in my ear, you would think that she knew me. Decided to cheat. Okay. Conversation got heavy. Hey. She had me feeling like she's ready to. Watch out! Oh, watch out! She's saying, come get me. Come get me. So I got up and followed her to the floor. She said, baby, let's go. When I yeah.
got me thinking that it might be a good idea to take her with me. She's ready to leave.
Well, let's go!
And I gotta keep it real now. Cause there's no one to take.
Back on the mound for the River Dogs, Antonio Jimenez. Leading off the bottom of the second inning for the Woodpeckers, the left fielder, number 20, Colin Price.
What's the price? Prices, prices going up. Woo! Prices, prices.
Colin Price starts out the bottom of the second inning. Charleston strikes first in this one. A two-run home run from O'Neill Manzueta in the top of the second. That came with two outs in the inning. And now a lead for Antonio Jimenez to work with. A Colin Price swing and miss on a first pitch slider. It's 0-1. Price, then Tyler Whitaker and Zach Cole, the 4, 5, and 6 of the order. Rocking back and forth, Jimenez delivers, and Price yanks it foul on the ground left side. It is quickly 0-2. Pair of strikeouts for Jimenez in that first inning. Got Lofton and DiCenzo, and then Jacob Melton rolled out to first on a 3 unassisted. Price is playing tonight after getting the day off yesterday, so he's well rested. Hasn't played a ton of outfield this year, just a few starts, but today he's out and left. Price comes in batting 283 with a home run and 9 driven in. He takes a changeup away for ball one. One ball, two strike count. Other numbers for Price, he's playing in his 19th pro game. Started his professional career on that 9-game hitting streak. Pitch outside. Zach DiCenzo has since overtaken Colin for the longest hit streak by a 2022 draft pick. But Price still is just a couple of solid games at the plate away from getting back to the 300 mark. The pitch home. He swings and fouls it off. That was a slider moving in towards his knees, and he made a last-second adjustment just to get a piece of the bat on it. A little bit of a breeze today. Nothing too strong, though, that would affect the baseball. Wind going slightly out towards left center field where O'Neill Manzueta put his home run. And Price with another down and in slider pulls it foul.
So the Woodpeckers are happy to see a left-hander on the mound for the first time in a while. They're average 239 coming into tonight against lefties compared to just 217 against righties. But the big difference is in slugging percentage, 391 compared to 347.
Yeah, they put the ball out of the yard when they face left-handers. And now Price, he swings and hits this deep. Castellanos back. He's looking up. See you later. Right on cue, Colin Price leaves the yard, his second home run of the year. And the Woodpeckers are within a one. They strike back, 2-1 in the bottom of the second inning.
First real mistake made by Jimenez after a flawless first inning, and it all boiled down to Colin Price extending that at-bat. Fell behind, nothing and two, fouled off a bunch of pitches, and finally got a breaking ball hung over the plate and hammered it out to left field. He said something to the man on deck right now in Zach Cole, maybe a little bit of a tip about Jimenez, whether it be him tipping off his pitches or whatever, but he saw something in that at-bat and made Jimenez pay.
So Tyler Whitaker, the new right-hander in, first pitch, a 94-mile-per-hour fastball up and outside. And here's the 1-0 to him. A breaking ball hovers over the middle. It's called strike one. Yeah, slider, slider, slider. That was that sequence there to Price. First couple were really good down and on the inside. And like I said, Colin, that third one looked like it got a little bit more of the plate, but Price still was able to kind of pull it in that direction. And that's what you have to do on a slider breaking in towards you as a righty. 2-1 pitch is a little low and in. Three balls and one strike. And here comes the 3-1 offering, and Whitaker hits it out to center, deep for Jones, going back to the warning track, and he makes the catch. Tyler Whitaker got everybody out of their seats. And that one falls just shy of the 400-foot marker. Woodpecker's going, not going back-to-back there. It brings up Zach Cole, but a good swing by Whitaker.
And you wonder if Tyler was in on that conversation that Price had with Cole, and maybe they're picking up something in that delivery that Fayetteville's using to their advantage, and we'll have to see how it goes on as the start goes on for Antonio Jimenez.
Now lefty and Zach Cole. First pitch fastball at 91, missed outside. The home run is the eighth allowed this year by Antonio Jimenez. Cole pops this one up left side of the infield. Caminero waving his arms, gets to the fringe of the left field grass and puts it away for out number two. A pop out. That brings up the switch hitter, Tommy Sacco.
That's also the 20th home run off a lefty this season for the Woodpeckers, and that pulls them into a tie for the most off of southpaws this season in the Carolina League, along with the Augusta Green Jackets.
Sacco from the right side. Doesn't get to do that too much. Takes low, and it's 1-0. That home run as well ends a long stretch of baseball in which Antonio Jimenez has not given one up. Swing and a miss at a high fastball, 1-1. Last home run surrendered from Jimenez, you have to go back to July 9th. Been well over a month. That was against the Augusta Green Jackets at home. Here's the 1-1. A slider darts down and in, gets Sacco swinging, 1-2.
That's what Jimenez wants to do, is get that slider down and in instead of leaving it back over the middle of the plate. Start it at the middle of the plate and have it tail in on the hands.
Sacco squares one up, line drive to center, but measured by Jones. Couple steps to his left, and he makes the chest high grab to end the inning. Colin Price gets the Woodpeckers on the board. Haven't seen a lot of home runs by the Fayetteville offense this week, but Price gets it out, and it's 2-1 going to the top of the third when we come back.
These two lucky fans are sitting in the coolest seats in the house. You've won a tumbler and drink tickets courtesy of Blanton's. Call Blanton's for all your air conditioning, plumbing, and electrical needs. Hey, the Sweeneys, show us those tumblers. Don't forget, you can own one of these game-worn and autographed jerseys. Jerseys are available for purchase online with sales closing at 5 p.m. tomorrow. Don't wait. Make sure to secure your jersey now. Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Daylon Miley. Leading off the top of the third inning for the River Dogs, the left fielder, number one, Diver Castellanos.
It's the third inning. Daylon Miley back with a run. 2-1 the score. The home run ball bringing home all three runs for both sides today. Diver Castellanos leads it off. First pitch a little bit high. And now to take you through the play-by-play for the third and the fourth, here is Colin Casey. He didn't want to eat any of the slimy nachos earlier today on the pregame show.
I've never been a big nacho fan, that's the thing. I'm more of a popcorn guy. Swing and a miss, and Castellanos gets strike one, 1-1.
Yeah, Nickelodeon at night, Legends of the Hidden Temple, and they have green slime nachos.
1-1, misses down and in. I also noticed on the uniforms that they have all the logos of the teams that were represented in Legends of the Hidden Temple. I think I remember them off the top of my head back to my childhood. You had the Red Jaguars, the Orange Iguanas, the Green Monkeys, the Blue Barracudas, as that one's hit on the ground towards the first base coaching box, foul. The Purple Parrots were the fifth one, and the Silver Snakes, the final
wow,
one.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I watched it a lot when I was really young. They had this channel, Nickelodeon Gasped, a lot of the old game shows on Nickelodeon back in the 90s. Broken bat, one hopper to first, snared by McGowan. Trots to the bag, puts his foot on it, and there is out number one. So three unassisted, back to the top of the order for Charleston, Shane Sasaki. Look to get aboard for the first time after flying out to be in the ball game. Two to one lead for the River Dogs, both scoring plays in this ball game, coming from the long ball. Sasaki takes strike one, who's O'Neill Mensueta's ninth of the season, with two outs in the top of the second inning off Miley before Colin Price led off the bottom half of the inning with a solo home run, his second as a member of the Woodpeckers. Miley's 0-1 in the dirt. Good crowd on hand here in downtown Fayetteville. A lot of folks behind both dugouts. Luckily, no rain in the forecast, so able to walk around the ballpark and sit from any vantage point. Not a bad seat in the house. 2-1. Sasaki with that batting average at .319. Had a two-run home run in that big fifth inning last night. 2-1, a fastball high, and Miley doesn't want to lose him here with Sasaki being one of the top 10 stolen base guys in the Carolina League. Carson Williams waiting on deck. Miley has not walked anyone yet, but that changes as he misses with a fastball inside. And Sasaki heads down to first base with one away in the inning.
Yeah, Miley, we mentioned his last time out going five innings. He walked four over that outing. It was still one of his best starts on the season. Even with the four walks, he showed an ability to limit runs even with the free base runners allowed, so we'll see if he can do that again here tonight. Try and get out of the inning quickly.
Sasaki takes his lead off first. Miley's first pitch to Carson Williams is a fastball upstairs. Sasaki comes in with 41 stolen bases on the season. Williams hits a ground ball hard, but outside a third foul. He has only been caught four times. So 41 for 45 for the Hawaiian.
At one point, I think he was perfect for the first 25 or so. I think he was 25 for 25 at one point.
And he's on the move. Inside, no call to strike. The throw down, tag late from Sacco. He had to drag it back across to the other side of the base. And Shane Sasaki has stolen base number 42.
Well, he gave himself away there. And I don't think Dalen Miley was peeking over the shoulder when Sasaki flinched, but he knew he was planning to go at that moment. That's on the catcher there, Ryan Wroblewski, to kind of have some peripheral vision, see that, and know that you might be ready to throw. And I think Wroblewski was. He got into that throwing slot pretty quick. Throw was just on the wrong side of second base.
The 1-2 to Carson Williams. Fouled back. Williams went back-to-back with Sasaki in that fifth inning last night off of Nick Swanson. Gave up three home runs. It's actually the first Fayetteville Woodpecker starting pitcher all season long to surrender three long balls. And the second time in a week that a Woodpeckers pitcher has given up three home runs in a single game. Alex Santos doing it on Sunday afternoon last week in Zebulon. Sasaki, an extra step off the bag, and Williams pops one a mile high onto the infield. Third baseman Zach DiCenzo just in front of the bag makes the catch, and there is out number two. So be up to Ryan Spikes to try to push home an insurance run for Charleston with two down in the inning. Spikes struck out to end a 1-2-3 top of the first inning for Miley. His pitch count is approaching 50, 47 so far. Look at second base and the first pitch. Fastball blown by Spikes. That one got up to 93 miles an hour from Dalen Miley. He's able to reach back and grab something extra at times. It's about as hard as he can throw that fastball. Around 93, sometimes 94. That one at 92, and again, Spikes can't catch up to it. Wind blowing steadily. Flags whipping around just behind the rocking chairs in left center field. The 0-2. Spike's able to lay off the breaking ball outside. Wonder if that had any impact about the ball flight of both home runs from Mansueta and Price. It is blowing out towards left center field. Maybe it'll help that ball get out, especially Price's. Just cleared the fence. The 1-2. Fastball high and in. And Spike's able to work the count back even. Cleanup man Junior Caminero hoping to get an opportunity. Here in the third inning. Sasaki with another big lead off second. Gets an extra step but stays put. And that is ball three. Woodpeckers and River Dogs will wrap up the series tomorrow afternoon. 2:05 first pitch from Segra Stadium. Miguel Uyola scheduled to get the ball for the Woodpeckers against Overgaloo. Already has 10 wins on the season for Charleston. Time called before the payoff pitch. The pitch. Check swing, and it's fouled right back. Miley having to throw a lot of pitches in this third inning. 72 last week in against Carolina on the road. And at home against Down East, he threw 74 pitches 2 weeks ago. Payoff pitch right down Broadway, and it's called strike three. Down looking goes Spikes. The inning is over. And Dalen Miley able to strand one in scoring position. Go to the bottom of the third inning. Charleston still holding on to a 2-1 lead from Segra Stadium on the Woodpeckers broadcast.
Now, take it away, DP.
It's time for Legends of the Hidden Temple trivia. I'm here with my buddy Josh. Josh, say hello.
Hello.
All right. We got three questions for him. We'll see if he gets it. Here we go. Let's turn around, look at the video board. First question is, in the Shrine of the Silver Monkey, how many pieces of the monkey are there?
Three.
Josh says three. Is he correct? Yes. One for one. All right, Josh, here we go. Number two, on what date did the first episode of the show air? This is going deep here. Wild guess. Give me a date. Any date.
August 5th, 1995.
August 5th, 1995. September 11th, 1993. All right, we're one for two. We got one more. We got one more. How many teams competed in Legends of the Hidden Temple? That's
tough. Six.
Josh says six. Is he correct? Yes! Well done, Josh. Hey, give me a big go, Peckers.
Go, Woodpeckers!
That's right.
Back on the mound for the River Dogs, Antonio Jimenez. Leading off the bottom of the third inning for the Woodpeckers, the catcher, number 17, Ryan Robleski.
All these foreigns automatic. They know where we come from, now they see us living lavish.
8-9-1 due up for the Woodpeckers in the home half of inning number three. Fayetteville trailing 2-1. Ryan Robleski smashes one to short, knocked down by Williams, and he recovers quickly to throw across the diamond and retire the hard-charging Ryan Robleski up the line. The ball was stung. Had to be close to 100 miles an hour off the bat, but Carson Williams got his glove on it, picked it up, and was able to get the first out.
It got hit so hard that it allowed Williams some time to recover there, bare hand and throw. He really showed off the arm strength there, but for Robleski, he was almost a product of the hard-hit baseball.
The lefty Garrett McGowan shoots a 1-0 towards his own dugout. Antonio Jimenez, just the one hit surrender to solo home run to Colin Price to begin the second inning. Other than that, he has retired seven batters. The 1-1. McGowan fouls it off. Lights starting to come on here in Segra. After today, just seven home games remaining for the Woodpeckers in 2022. And a fastball comes in and hits McGowan in the helmet. He's back to his feet. And he's taken off his batting gloves. Goes to retrieve his helmet and looks like he's okay. Hopefully just a glancing blow. Trainer Eric Braun making sure he's okay. And he's going to go try to take his base. He's from the Midwest, so he's about as tough as it gets, and it's like Eric has seen enough, and he's going to let him strut on down to first. Great sign. So after a scary moment, McGowan aboard at first base with one down. Jackson Lofton will get his second at-bat. Struck out his first time up. Takes a fastball on the inside corner, 0-1. So seen a lot of hit-by-pitches throughout this week. I remember two nights ago, Fayetteville pitching hit five batters as a team. Mm-hmm. Lofton lines one just over the Charleston dugout foul. So control, a bit of an issue. Across the series for both sides. Infield at double play depth for Charleston. Jimenez delivers. And Lofton again out in front. It's a high fly ball out of play down the left field line.
A little bit later on that swing, and Lofton might have been looking at home run number two of the homestand. Something had home run distance on it to the train tracks.
The 0-2 inside, and it gets away from the catcher Perry and goes to the backstop. McGowan is up to second base, tying run in scoring position for the Woodpeckers. Perry was able to get his mitt on it, but it crossed him up a little bit, had to reach back towards his left, and was unable to squeeze the fastball from Jimenez. RBI opportunity now for Lofton. The pitch down and away. That was a changeup. After last night's strong pitching performance for the River Dogs, in which they gave up just one run, they moved into first in the Carolina League as far as team ERA goes. Lofton fills the count. 3.69 on the season. It's really been a toss-up between them and the Down East Wood Ducks as far as pitching staffs have gone this year. They are now owners of the lowest ERA in the league and the third lowest whip in the league. That's still belonging to Down East and has been for much of the season. They just don't give up a lot of hits or walks. A wave and a miss, and Lofton strikes out. Second time he's gone down on strikes. The third punch out for Jimenez. And with two away, lefty Jacob Melton will try to push home that run.
And that was one of Jimenez's better sliders today. started in and then just broke towards the ankles of Loft and really tied him up. That was the pitch that he was trying to get Colin Price with back in the second, and he fouled that one off and then ended up getting the home run ball.
First pitch to Melton, down and away. Melton grounded out to first base in his first AB. Drove in the only run for the Woodpeckers last night on a ground out, coincidentally, to first base. Off the end of the bat, foul, off to the left. Melton, the second round pick for the Astros out of Oregon State. Drew Gilbert taken in the first round out of Tennessee, but Gilbert shut down for the remainder of the season with a dislocated elbow that he suffered about 2 weeks ago out in the outfield at Segra Stadium. 1-2 now. Obviously, with the way Gilbert was swinging the bat prior to his injury, you have to imagine that could have been his last moment in a Woodpeckers uniform. I think the Astros could very well push his development along up to the higher levels of their minor league system. Fouled off again by Melton. Never did strike out in his first five games with the Woodpeckers. With the ball in play and his first hit left the yard. Melton ground ball right side through and into right field for a base hit. McGowan being waved in, the throw up the line, and the Woodpeckers have tied it at two in the bottom of the third. Jacob Melton has driven in each of the last two runs for Fayetteville. Two of the last three, I should say, but that's back-to-back games for Melton with an RBI.
Yeah, and he's done it on ground balls to the right side. That's where a lot of this stuff is going right now for Melton. Rolled out to the first baseman in the first inning yesterday. It was the RBI ground out that brought home the run. And that time, that was a little bit of a harder ground ball that found the hole perfect. And he's done a good job in two strike at bats this week of just putting something in play and trying to be productive late in at bats.
We got a pitch clock violation on Jimenez. So a 1-0 count for Zach DiCenzo. Ninth RBI for Melton since joining the Woodpeckers about 2 weeks ago. 2-0 now on DiCenzo. Had last night off and trying to extend that hitting streak to a dozen games. Something that has only been accomplished by Tyler Whitaker and Kennedy Corona this season for Woodpeckers. Down and in, and 3-0. Have to imagine DiCenzo will get the green light. But not a single competitive pitch in this at-bat so far from Jimenez. He has not issued a walk, but he did hit Garrett McGowan earlier in the inning. 3-0, and DiCenzo lays off outside corner. Fastball called a strike. Melton being held on at first by Blake Robertson. 3-1, nice backdoor breaking ball, and Jimenez fights back. Full count with two away, so Melton will be on the move. Pitch number 55 coming from Antonio Jimenez. And it's waved at and missed, and DiCenzo goes down on strikes for the second time. Four strikeouts now on the night for Antonio Jimenez, but Jacob Melton with an RBI single to right. And Fayetteville has pulled back even after falling behind 2-0. 2-2 as we go to the fourth inning from Segra Stadium.
Special guest down on the dugout. Take it away, DP.
There is no better place to celebrate a birthday than right here at Segra Stadium with some Woodpeckers baseball. Ladies and gents, this is Mackenzie. This lovely young lady is turning 20 years old today. And I need, of course, 20 is a big number. I need everybody. And when I say everybody, I mean everybody to help me sing happy birthday to this beautiful young lady. Ready? In 3, 2, 1. Happy birthday to you. Come on!
Happy birthday
Happy birthday, dear Mackenzie.
Happy birthday
to you. Happy birthday. Give me a big go, Peckers.
Go, Peckers.
That's right.
There's not a better place to take in your birthday than at a Woodpeckers game. All birthday parties come with a birthday cake, courtesy of Bernie's Sweets and More. Contact the Woodpeckers front office to schedule your birthday right here at Segra Stadium. On the mound for the Woodpeckers, Daylan Miley. Leading off the top of the fourth inning for the River Dogs, the third baseman, number 37, Junior Caminero.
Middle of the order for Charleston to begin the fourth inning, Junior Caminero, followed by Blake Robertson and Brock Jones. Caminero flew out to Colin Price out in left field his first time up. Daylan Miley on for his fourth inning, and that ball is blasted on a line left field, and that ball got out of here in a hurry. No chance of Price getting to that one. A solo home run for Junior Caminero, his third in a River Dogs uniform. Charleston, in the blink of an eye, retakes the lead. It's 3-2.
Junior Caminero, a guy that's showing a lot of promise, brought over from a trade from the Cleveland Indians. Rays took a chance on him, traded away a Rule 5 guy, a guy who was Rule 5 eligible, the pitcher Tobias Myers. And Caminero is now a top 20 guy in the Rays system and showing some pop and showing what he can do. So that's a big swing.
Breaking ball, and Blake Robertson sends it into right field. A dive, and unable to get there is Cole, but he does knock it down, which holds Robertson to a single. That ball got by him. Robertson probably was going to take an extra 90 feet, but Cole able to recover, knock it down. Back-to-back hits for Charleston to begin the fourth inning. Those hits have come in bunches for the River Dogs in this game. It was Brock Jones and O'Neill Manzueta who went back-to-back as far as recording hits go in the second, including the home run, and now Caminero and Robertson doing it in the fourth. Miley misses downstairs on the breaking ball. Brock Jones, second-round pick out of Stanford. He's had an impressive first week with the River Dogs. Miley's 1-0. Check swing. Jones just able to hold up the appeal to field umpire Trey Chester, and he confirms the call from home plate umpire Stephen Craze. Caminero had 5 home runs in the FCL prior to getting the call up. Hit 326 down there with 31 RBIs, so no surprise to see him quickly move to the River Dogs and might get a chance to help Charleston pursue a Carolina League title. And based on the way they've been swinging the bat, that 3.5 game lead they have over the Columbia Fireflies might be safe enough to schedule them a date with the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. The 2-1 swung on and missed by Jones.
That'd be a fantastic divisional series if you could get the Myrtle Beach Pelicans version of the first half.
Yeah, there's some bad blood, too, between those two teams earlier in the year.
Yeah, Twitter exchanges and right, all sorts of stuff.
Wonder if that's been forgotten about or not by both sides. The 2-2, and Miley can't quite get the backdoor breaking ball over. It is a full count now to Jones. That's really the only Twitter beef we've seen in the Carolina League this season.
Yeah,
I don't think we've gotten into it with anybody. Payoff pitch. Foul tipped, and it catches Robleski on the inside of the leg. He's able to walk it off. And we'll do it again. some stretching in the Woodpeckers bullpen, but nobody throwing just yet. Miley at 62 pitches. Good chance that changes soon. Blake Robertson leads off first. Pretty big lead. Payoff pitch. Line to left, and it will fall in front of Price for a base hit. Robertson rounds second. He's into third. Meanwhile, Brock Jones advances to second base. He never slowed down once he got to that first base bag. It was a long run for the outfielder, Colin Price. And Jones has himself his third double of the week.
Yeah, well, in that case, as a base runner, you usually feel pretty good about going to second when you have a man in front of you. You know that Price's throw from left field is probably going to go to a shortstop or a cutoff man in the infield to make sure that runner doesn't go home. They don't pay too much attention to you, the trailing runner, so Jones saw an opportunity to get to scoring position, and he took it.
Three straight hits to begin the fourth inning for Charleston. It almost feels like deja vu for the Woodpeckers, another one of those big innings brewing for the Dogs. Miley will step off before the first pitch to O'Neill Manzueta, and he's got to be careful. Manzueta already burned him for a monster home run out to left center field to give Charleston a 2-0 lead at the time in the second. His first pitch, challenge fastball, and Manzueta lays off for strike one. It was the ninth home run for O'Neill and his second in as many games. Breaking ball chopped over the head of DeCenzo, but it just hooked foul. Would have scored both runs had it gotten down the line. Now, last night it was the fifth inning for the River Dogs, 5 runs scored. Two nights prior in the 12-3 victory, River Dogs put up half a dozen runs in the fourth inning. Miley's 0-2. Breaking ball called strike three. And a big time out number one for Daylon Miley. Picks up his 6th strikeout of the outing. Safe to say that was his biggest so far. Definitely use another one. Woodpeckers keeping their infield about halfway in, still playing behind the bags. And the batter is Nathan Perry. Takes a fastball down low. Perry struck out in the second inning. Hit his 4th home run of the season last night against his former team. Ended up going 1-for-3, also had a walk. The 1-0, slow breaking ball at the knees. And Fayetteville at 48-69 on the season, 17-35 in the second half. They have been eliminated from postseason contention. 1-1, this is down and in. Robleski able to stop it. And you have to wonder almost what if over the last 2-3 weeks for the Woodpeckers. What if Drew Gilbert doesn't go down with that injury against Down East? What if Logan Cerny doesn't go on the shelf as well? Obviously, you know, promotions happen, so can't really fault those, but a little bit of bad luck for Fayetteville in this second half. Fouled off the mitt of Robleski. It is 2-2.
Yeah, and you know, it took a little while for some of those 2022 Astros draft picks on the pitching side to arrive to town as well. And no doubt now at this point, they're all kind of getting acclimated to Fayetteville with their first week with the team. And you wonder, had they shown up maybe a little bit earlier, would that have helped the Woodpeckers stay competitive in the playoff hunt?
2-2 to Perry, chased after and missed. Strike three. Back-to-back strikeouts for Daylon Miley after the home run, single and double to begin the inning. 2 in scoring position, but 2 strikeouts for Miley. Now the infield can get the easy out at first base. The 9-hitter coming up, Dyer Castellanos. based on a small sample size, that 2022 pitching staff. It's looking like a good one for the Astros. Castellanos lays off ball one. Nolan DeVos ended up getting the victory in the 3-0 shutout, going two scoreless innings, struck out five batters. He was followed by Tyler Guilfoyle. Did the same thing. Went two scoreless and got the save in the 3-0 win. Ground ball left side. It's knocked down by DeCenzo. Throw to first in time, and the inning is over. Couple of big-time strikeouts from Dalen Miley and a gold glove play by his third baseman. Get the Woodpeckers out of the inning with just the one run scored on the solo home run from Caminero. Charleston takes a 3-2 lead in the bottom of the fourth inning. You're tuned in right here on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Antonio Jimenez. Fans, you can own one of these game-worn and autographed jerseys. Jerseys are available for purchase online with sales closing at 5 p.m. tomorrow. Scan the QR code on the video board to secure your jersey right now. Leading off the bottom of the fourth inning for the Woodpeckers, the left fielder, number 20, Colin Price.
What's the price? Going up. Prices.
Colin Price looks to follow up his solo home run in his last at-bat as he chops one foul off the outside of his foot. He goes down in a heap. And he is in some pain. It's that left leg. And he is very hobbled. Oh, man. It takes a lot to get a guy like him limping like the way he is, and that'll prompt a visit from trainer Eric Braun. Second time Braun's had to go out and check out a Woodpecker in this ballgame. I wouldn't be surprised to see if he ends up coming out of this game if he's struggling to.
He wears a guard. It's a white guard, so it's hard to tell with his pants. But he wears the guard on the inside of the left leg, and that might have gotten the top of. I'm not sure if it got the top of the foot or more of the upper shin area above the guard. And now he's just trying to shuffle his weight back and forth. Price has taken a beating in this series. He had to be removed from a game earlier in the week when he was catching, a bit of a minor hand injury. He was back in the lineup the day after, but now he's fouling one off of his foot. And no doubt he's been a little beat up this week.
He'll stay in, though, putting the batting gloves on. Got to be tough to play the catcher position. That foul ball caught the inside of his ankle. Kind of one of the weaker points of the leg where you're essentially hitting it right off your ankle bone. Hopefully just a little bit sore, that's all. The 0-1. Fastball misses inside from Antonio Jimenez. It's actually the breaking pitch. 1-1 is outside. This might be a first this year, but the Woodpeckers' defense, with the exception of Dalen Miley on the mound, as it's called strike 2-2, entirely made up of 2022 draft picks. Tyler Whitaker, the DH, taken in 2021. But those other eight guys out there with Miley all taken in last year, in last month's draft. 2-2 to Price, and he's late on the fastball and goes down on strikes. Fifth punch out for Jimenez. One away. And here is Whitaker.
It's one of the unique parts about this level of baseball compared to when the Woodpeckers were a high A franchise in 2019 is that you have one team for the first half, and usually by draft time in the second half, you have an entirely different club. You don't have that much turnover at the double A or triple A level. A little slower to promote guys even at high A compared to where we're at.
Unless you're the Los Angeles Angels, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, they said.
They've had a lot of players suit up this year.
Whitaker grounds one towards third, picked up by Caminero. His throw nearly pulls Robertson off the bag, but he keeps that back foot on. Two up, two down for Jimenez. And the Angels are descending. Off top of my head, two guys taken in 2022 very quickly to double-A with the Rocket City Trash Pandas. Ben Joyce went there straight away. Drew Gilbert's teammate at Tennessee. And Zach Netto went to nearby Campbell University in Buies Creek. He spent a little bit of time in single A, and they called him straight up to Rocket City. Count 1-1 on Zach Cole, popped up to the left side of the infield in his first AB. Gets a breaking ball. Might have been a bit high. 2-1. 65 pitches on the outing for Jimenez. Make it 66 as he misses low. Ball three. Cole, a big threat to run. 11 stolen bases this season. The pitch. Fastball inside. And Zach Cole heads down to first base with a two-out walk. First walk given up by Jimenez in his outing. And Tommy Sacco gets an opportunity with a runner on first and two away in the inning. Sacco flew out to center field to end the second inning. Takes a ball inside. Sacco hailing from Gilbert, Arizona. Initially went to school in Arizona as well. Fastball up and away. He started his collegiate career at Yavapai College in Prescott, Arizona. A lot of great alum from the major leagues coming from that school. Cole and Willie Calhoun, Ken Giles, Kirby Yates, to name a few. Called strike 2-1 on Sacco. Eventually made his way to TCU. Played for the Horned Frogs, taking the 14th round by the Astros in July. On the move, Cole is attempted to be picked off, and he still gets to second anyways. He committed after the throw came to the first baseman, Robertson. Robertson then tossed it on down to second base, but Zach Cole, too much speed, steals second base anyways.
Yep, you can't freeze as a base runner. You're committed to going on first contact against the left-hander, knowing that he may very well pick over. And he did that time, but it took Jimenez too long to get the ball over to his first baseman, and that's all the time Zach Cole needed.
Sacco grounds the 2-1 foul. An even dozen now for Cole.
And also, Williams, the shortstop's probably the guy that you want to hustle to the bag there to drop the tag, but it took Spikes, the second baseman, a little bit to get over. Robertson had to hold the ball for a split second, and that allowed Cole to get in as well.
Sacco awaits the 2-2. Cole on the move again, ground ball to short, right at Williams. He collects and throws to first to end the inning. So despite Zach Cole's two-out walk and crazy stolen base, the inning ends with Fayetteville still trailing 3-2 at Segra Stadium. Fifth inning coming up next on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
contestants right now. Take it away, DP.
It's time for one of the greatest in-between inning events ever. It's the pony races. It's boys and girls. All right, I've got Eli, I got Malin, and down there, good Lord, Carter. Down there in red, we got Abby, and in black, we got Sarah. Are you guys ready? In 3, 2, 1, go, ponies, go! Oh, Eli. Eli's showing off that cross-country skill. It's close. Eli's got it. Abby and Sarah, get ready. Tag out. Come on, ladies. Propulsion. Abby's got it. Abby. Sarah's kind of got it. Yes. Fantastic. Well done. Abby and Eli take it home. Come on over here, guys. Hurry up. All four of you give me a big go, Packers.
Go Packers.
That's right. Go Packers.
Like Kiyosabe, of course it's me, a better known as the Master G. I'm fucking in squads, sense the danger, when it's stung by the rapping ranger. Had a little talk with my medicine man, he said get them squads fast as you can. To all you girls that wanna join my tribe, just move to my rhythm and feel my vibe. Put up a fuss in the air, you'll agree, but when you come inside my TV, as I said before, you can sense the danger when you're...
Fans, this Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Coldwell Banker. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 53, Andre Scrubb.
Daylon Miley's outing comes to a close after four innings. We go to the fifth from Segra Stadium. 3-2 lead for the Charleston River Dogs. A new arm on the mound. Another rehab outing for a former Houston Astro. And to tell you about him, here's Andrew Chapman.
All right, thanks, Colin. First pitch rolled to Jackson Lofton. And one pitch, one out for Andre Scrubb. He completes the putout on the 6-3. Even those routine ground balls can be close ones with the speed of Shane Sasaki. He's been clocked as low as a 4.05, a run from first, from home to first. That's elite big league speed right there. And now here's Carson Williams. So Andre Scrubb, not a big league rehab. He's on rehab from the Sugarland Space Cowboys, where he pitched in 2021. The pitch is a fastball to Williams, nothing in one count. Last season for Sugarland, pitched in 15 total games, but been on the 60-day IL all year. Does have some big league time, though, with the Houston Astros. The 0-1, swing and a miss on a fastball, and it's quickly 0-2. Last pitch for Houston in 2021, 18 games last year. He totaled 19 and two-thirds total innings, struck out 21, walked 14. And had a 5.03 ERA. A check swing, and on the appeal, he went too far. Williams strikes out. And Andre Scrubb has a strikeout and two away in the fifth inning. Cool thing about Andre is that this is a homecoming for him. He was born on Fort Bragg. Grew up in a military family, and he attended High Point University up in High Point, North Carolina, not far from here. And now he's back in North Carolina, pitching for the first time with the Woodpeckers. Here's the first pitch to Spikes, a swing and a miss on a high fastball. And it is 0-1.
High Point's had their fair share of major league talent, one of them being former Guardians closer Cody Allen.
And there's a breaking ball that missed a little outside. It's a one ball and one strike count. And Andre Scrubb, not originally drafted by the Houston Astros. He was a Los Angeles Dodger where he came up. The 1-1 pitch. A breaking ball that missed a little bit in. That was close, though. And the count is two balls and one strike. Had the chance to see Andre pitch in 2018 out in the California League when he was playing for the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes. That was before the trade in 2019 that sent him over to Houston. Here comes the 2-1, and a fastball is into the zone. A strike, and it is 2-2.
Seen a lot of Astros coming over from the Dodgers in trades. Remember Yordan Alvarez, another guy who initially started in the Dodgers organization.
The kick, the 2-2 pitch, and a bouncing ball is hit foul along the third baseline. Scrub also pitching for Sugarland, as mentioned last year. 15 games for Sugarland, 18 for Houston. At the AAA level, he really dominated in the Pacific Coast League as a slider missed just outside. It was close. Now a full count on Spikes. He had just a 1.80 ERA with the Space Cowboys. Last year known as the Sugarland Skeeters. 15 innings, only 3 runs allowed. The pitch is high, and Andre Scrub issues a walk to Ryan Spikes.
Tell you what, the stuff looks good. That curveball he's been throwing has been breaking close to 2 feet, starting almost at a batter's head and dropping down to the bottom of the strike zone. So as far as the eye test goes, everything looks pretty good for Andre.
Now he faces Junior Caminero, who hit a home run his last time up. He attacks the first one, as he did in the fourth, and he misses. He lined a Dalen Miley fastball over the left field wall in the fourth inning for his third home run with the River Dogs. And now time called to the plate. Scrub from the 2016 draft class, where the Dodgers grabbed him in the eighth round out of High Point University. Here's a ground ball hit sharply out to short. Picked up with one hand by Lofton. He underhand flips to Sacco at second the short way. And the inning is over. Andre Scrub throws a scoreless fifth inning. Welcome back home, Andre. We'll see if we have more from him come the sixth. First, the Woodpeckers are coming to bat bottom five, trailing 3-2.
Every game this season, we'll randomly select one lucky season ticket holder to be our Hutchins High Performance Season Ticket Holder of the Game. This individual will take home a prize courtesy of Hutchins Law Firm. Tonight's High Performance Season Ticket Holder of the Game is Fred Exley. Congratulations, Fred. Cool as a fan.
Road and back again. Your heart is
Roll Tide.
You're a pal and a confidant. I'm not ashamed to say, I hope it always will stay this way. My hat is off. Won't you stand up and take a bow?
Back on the mound for the River Dogs, Antonio Jimenez. Leading off the bottom of the fifth inning for the Woodpeckers, the catcher, number 17, Ryan Robleski.
Left-hander Antonio Jimenez is back on the mound for the River Dogs in the home fifth. Close ball game today, 3-2, and Ryan Robleski leads it off. 0-1 with a ground out to short today. Jimenez's pitch is popped out of play. Foul. And it's 1-1 on Robleski. Ryan hit one pretty hard out towards the shortstop, Carson Williams, back in the third. It was a low liner, short hopped Williams. He knocked it down with a glove and was able to recover and get the out. Ball was hit so hard that Robleski didn't really have time to get up the line, and it gave Williams enough time to recover and make the out. 75 pitches now for the Charleston starter. Jimenez sails one, a slider slipped out of the fingers. And it goes to 3-1. Woodpeckers have walked just once today. Also a hit batter, Garrett McGowan. By the way, in that last inning, Colin Price removed from the game. And Rolando Espinoza has come on to play left field. Pitch outside, and Wroblewski will head to first. The second walk given up by Jimenez. He didn't issue a walk his first three innings, but gave up a pass to Cole in the fourth, and now to Wroblewski. He's walked two of his last three hitters he's faced, and that has caused the Charleston bullpen to begin warming. Cameron Fields starting to loosen. The right-hander from Dallas, Texas. And a fastball starts inside on McGowan. It's 1-0.
He's the one who closed out that 12-3 victory a couple of nights ago, so not too much time for rest in between for Fields.
3-2 the score. Woodpeckers trail. Tying run now on first, and a slider is into the zone on McGowan, 1-1. Good to see Garrett stay in the game after he was hit with a fastball on the back of the helmet in the third, the pitch. He chases a slider down and away. That's pitch number 80 for Jimenez, and he gets ahead 1-2 with it. It was not a flush hit by pitch. It was more of a grazing blow, but it still made a good sound going off the helmet as McGowan rips through another breaker, and he strikes out. Strikeout number 6 for Antonio Jimenez. He only struck out 2 Woodpeckers the first time through the order, but K'd 4 the second time through. So here's Jackson Lofton trying to put an end to an 0-for-2 with 2 strikeouts. Middle infield to double play depth. Short lead off of first for Wroblewski. And a first pitch slider grabs the edge in its own 1. Woodpeckers 2 runs on 2 base hits, a home run and a single. There's a fastball strike as Jimenez ramped it up, 92 miles an hour. Right-hander loosening in the Fayetteville bullpen, so it may just be 1 inning of rehab work for Andre Scrub, a scoreless top of the 5th for him. The 0-2 to Lofton, he swings and misses, strikes out on a changeup down to the dirt. 2 away, back-to-back strikeouts.
That right-hander is Zach Matthews, so could be seeing his return after missing a couple of months due to an IL stint.
Yep. Good to see Zach back and healthy. Weren't sure if we'd see him again in Fayetteville this year. He was reinstated from the injured list on August 24th. Looks like he'll pitch today. Left on left, Jacob Melton swings, hits a short hopping liner to second, spikes down to a slide, spears it on one hop, throws from a knee, and retires Jacob Melton on a great play. It's a couple of well-hit balls today from Melton, but he goes to 1-for-3. Woodpeckers get the leadoff walk, but strand Wroblewski, and we head to the 6th. Zach Matthews will enter this game when we return. It's 3-2, River Dogs.
Served as a year and a half in 3rd Battalion, 75th Ranger Regiment. He also served 2 years in the 82nd Airborne Division as an infantry team leader and squad leader. He's worked with Army Development Command to ensure soldiers of the future are well-equipped and ready to respond to our nation's call. We'd also like to recognize Specialist Dexter Ulrich. He enlisted into the Marine Corps in 2015. He completed recruit training in San Diego, California, and went to Okinawa, Japan as a satellite communications operator. Specialist Ulrich completed 2 years in Japan and went to Camp Pendleton, California for another year and a half. Shortly after that, he enlisted into the Army and completed AIT at Fort Sill, Oklahoma as a fire direction specialist. He is now stationed here at Fort Bragg. Fans, let's hear it for Sergeant Austin Ho and Specialist Dexter Ulrich. Thank you both for your service.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to
to Houston and New York too.
Fans, this Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Coldwell Banker. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 26, Zach Matthews. Leading off the top of the sixth inning for the River Dogs, the first baseman, number 12, Blake Robertson.
A new arm for Fayetteville starting the top of the sixth inning. It is Zach Matthews who has made his return from the injured list, activated back on Monday, August 24th. And he has returned now to Segra Stadium to pitch the top of the second inning. A 3-2 Charleston lead. And the pitch is a called strike on the outside corner to Blake Robertson. He'll lead off the lefty in five bat. Brock Jones, the left-hander on deck, and then O'Neill Mansueta. Mansueta, the righty. So lefty-lefty righty for Zach Matthews to contend with. Here's the pitch and a ground ball pulled out towards first base. Collected by McGowan. He runs to first himself. Completes the put out, and there's one gone. So Andre Scrub, just one inning for him behind Dalen Miley. He pitches a scoreless fifth. Did walk one and also struck out a batter, but no hits and no runs for Scrub. And Matthews, the third arm into this one. The former Oklahoma Sooner, who was on the Woodpeckers opening day roster. He now faces left-handed batter Brock Jones, the former Stanford ball player, and Stephen Craze has told Brock that he cannot use the bat that he has in his hand. And it looked like there might have been a discussion regarding there was a sticker on the bat above the actual grip tape of the handle. What almost looked like a shiny sticker, and I think that's the root of the issue there with that particular bat. I don't know if it came like that or he put it on himself. It's not a pine tar issue. And now he has the two-tone bat with the white handle and the black barrel.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of. I mean, like you said, didn't see an excess amount of pine tar on the bat. It's not something we see a whole lot nowadays, but back in the 70s and 80s, we saw a lot of instances where there's too much pine tar being on the bat or... I don't know. Just ask George Brett.
Yeah.
My point.
So first pitch to Brock Jones, the new bat in hand, missed low. Whatever the conversation was there, it wasn't one of distress for Jones. It seemed like he was okay with putting aside that bat. He was kind of chuckling with Steve Craze as he walked back into the box. He cracked a smile, so he doesn't seem too upset that he doesn't get to use the bat he wanted. And now a swing and a miss and a changeup. Maybe the outcome of things will change depending on the result of the at-bat here.
At least it's not corked. That's a bigger issue
corked. Of course. Here's the one ball, one strike count to Jones, and the pitch is down and outside. I don't think we've, you know, corked bats seem like they're such an old-time thing now. I don't think we've seen a corked bat incident in the major leagues in well over 10 years. Yeah, I mean, you're talking Sammy Sosa era. 15 years ago since we've seen something like that. Here's the pitch and a swing and a miss. Fastball inside at 95. Matthews looks good. Before going on the injured list, he had a 2-3 record and a 7.77 ERA with Fayetteville. 10 games, 4 starts, 22 total innings. He gave up 19 earned runs across that stretch. Did rack up a lot of strikeouts, 32. And he throws and strikes out Jones. He went too far. That bat didn't do him any favors.
Yeah.
And there's two gone. Base is empty. O'Neill Mansueta, the next hitter.
Speaking of cork, remember another incident with former Cincinnati Red Chris Sabo, who was the 1988 Rookie of the Year in the NL, and yet everyone remembers him for that incident. So sometimes it can define your career. In the case of Sabo, who was a three-time All-Star, going to the All-Star game in three of his first four seasons with the Cincinnati Reds.
Tapped foul. They've redirected the issue towards the sticky stuff.
Yep.
Pitchers are the ones being really examined now more than hitters with the spider tack and the umpires filling the hands of pitchers walking off the mound. Here comes the 0-1 swinging a foul ball off the end of the bat.
Even the pitchers will use pine tar. We saw Michael Pineda a couple of years ago against the Red Sox.
Back of the year.
Nabbed for, using his neck to put it out, which really should have probably gone with a different place to put that to access it. I guess it's easy access, but.
0-2, a slider down to the dirt, and Matthews just missed it on the appeal. 1-2. Mansueta, a two-run home run back in the second inning. He looked at strike three in the fourth, one of seven strikeouts for Dalen Miley today. He fell just one shy of a season high. Matthews held Carolina League hitters to a 220 average so far this year prior to the injury list trip. Tried again, a 1-2 pitch and a foul ball straight backwards. Zach Matthews did put together some solid outings while he was with Fayetteville. Scoreless inning in two-thirds against Fredericksburg back on June 4th here at home. He did pitch against Charleston on May 6th at the Joe and handled them pretty well. Two runs allowed over three and a third, gave up five hits. The pitch home, swinging a foul into the netting again. Means wait to put together a good battle. And he struck out five River Dogs in that outing at the Joe. That was just one shy of his season high. Back-to-back games on June 18th and June 25th against Kannapolis and Augusta. He struck out six. Goes off speed, missed low. And it is two balls and two strikes. Injuries have been one of the things that have slowed Matthews' development a little bit coming out of college. He did have Tommy John surgery prior to joining the Astros organization. So hoping he can have a stretch of healthy baseball now that he's returned to the mound. A swing and a foul into the net again. 96, the reading on that fastball. Mansueta, one of the longer battles tonight. He will now see pitch number 8 from Matthews. There is some bullpen activity out there in left field for the Woodpeckers. 2-2. And he fights it away again. It's a well-located pitch. Matthews kind of shaking his head, going to the rosin bag now, chalking up that hand. It was a slider down and inside, and he still somehow got a piece of it. Immediately following the 96-mile-per-hour fastball. Matthews trying for a 1-2-3, anyway, the base is empty. The 2-2 finally gets him lucky. Matthews wins the long battle, strikes out Mansueta on the ninth pitch, and goes 1-2-3 in his return to Segra Stadium. A couple of strikeouts for Matthews. We've played 5.5 tonight in downtown Fayetteville. The Woodpeckers trail by a run. It's 3-2.
Okay.
Fans, it's time for the Temple Run Relay Race. Our contestants are down on the dugout. They are going to be asked a question, and once one of them gets it correct, they'll run to home plate to receive their pendant of life, then back to their dugouts. Contestants, are you ready? Cleopatra was the legendary ruler of what area?
Egypt.
Egypt.
That's correct. Go, go. Cheer them on. Who will it be? Who will get to home plate first? Make some noise. Cheer them on. Need encouragement. Make some noise. It's the contestant in the red. Congratulations, you've received your pendant of life. Fans,
This River Dogs pitching change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Entering the game for the River Dogs, number 22, Cameron Fields. Better not get too comfortable. Leading off the bottom of the sixth inning for the Woodpeckers, the third baseman, number 10, Zach DiCenzo.
Cameron Fields is the new right-hander into the game for Charleston as we begin the bottom of the sixth inning. Zach DiCenzo is out there on the mound. Woodpeckers now using a bullpen effort to keep this a tight game. 3-2 Charleston. Andre Scrubb, a scoreless fifth. Zach Matthews, a scoreless sixth. The 1-0. And DiCenzo hits it high but shallow out to right. Manzueta coming in, spikes the second baseman out, waving his arms, and he's the one to pull it in for out number one. So DiCenzo falls to 0-3. That's the first time he's put the ball in play tonight. And now it's Rolando Espinoza, who had to come on as a defensive replacement for Colin Price back in the fifth inning.
This Rolando coming off his first single-A hit last night. Put the ball in play in all three of his trips. Swung the bat really well in his return.
Espinoza takes a fastball for strike one. Cameron Fields entering tonight a 3-0 record and a 3.14 ERA. His 32nd appearance out of the Charleston bullpen. His 0-1 home. Outside, a slider darted away. 1-1. Two saves and two opportunities for Fields. If he went the distance tonight, he could grab another one. 43 innings pitched as he delivers a strike on a breaking ball. 84-mile-per-hour slider to the outer corner, 1-2. 15 earned runs given up, 7 long balls surrendered. He has been bitten by the home run a little too much this season. 33 walks to 35 strikeouts. He's ahead of Espinoza. He throws, and on a little check swing, that fastball came in and got a piece of the handle of the bat. That was going to be a ball up and inside on Espinoza, but hands got stuck in the way, and it's still 1-2. Tyler Whitaker is on deck. And Tommy Sacco in the hole. And here comes the pitch. A slider that he's able to knuckle foul into the netting. Stays where it is, 1-2. Still some bullpen activity out there in left field, so it might be another reliever come the seventh inning. Can't imagine Zach Matthews would go too long today, being his first time in a live Carolina League game in over 2 months. Base is clear, the 1-2 again. Espinoza pops it up right side, and this will sail over the seats onto the first base concourse.
I was looking at who hasn't pitched this week for Fayetteville to kind of narrow it down, and yep. It is, in fact, Walker Brockhaus, who is getting loose in the Woodpeckers' bullpen, looking to make his return now to Fayetteville.
Yep, that's a 2021 Woodpecker. The 1-2 pitch is down to the dirt. Good take by Espinoza, low fastball. Brian Salgado is scheduled to go at some point this week as well. Right-hander Miguel Ulloa is going to be the starter tomorrow. Good chance we see Salgado today. 2-2 pitch. Espinoza yanks it on the ground, foul left side.
And the good thing with Ulloa starting on Sunday, if you want to go with Salgado after him, it's shaping up to be a two-pitcher kind of game because both of them give you length, and they're both able to get out sufficiently.
I think Monday will end up being an interesting day for Miguel Ulloa. I don't have intel one way or another on this. Two ball, two strikes. And here comes the pitch for Espinoza. He, again, checked on a fastball running in on him, and it got a piece of the bat. So all right, he'll keep the battle alive, still in a two ball, two strike count. You know, now with Edinson Bautista going up to high A, he obviously had the numbers to get a promotion. Miguel Ulloa, the question would be, would the Astros like to try and test him a little bit at the high A level over the last couple of series of the regular season? He has great numbers. He has lofty prospect status now. 2-2 pitch. Swinging a line drive out to center field. That'll drop for a base hit. Rolando Espinoza perseveres and comes up with a single. Great battle on the two-strike pitch. He kept making contact, and on pitch number 10 of that at bat, Espinoza reaches first.
Just a smart swing. Pitch was low right at knee level, and just chopped down on it. Smooth swing. Not trying to do too much. hit it right back where it came into center field. Espinosa loving his approach in his first two games since returning from the FCL.
And we're seeing that swing that got him the bump up and led to a lot of success over the last month at the FCL. Tyler Whitaker takes the first pitch up high. One ball and no strikes. Middle infield double play depth with one away. The tying run is on at a 3-2 game. Espinosa is off. And here's a bouncing ball left side. A sliding pickup by Caminero. Pops to his feet. Throws to first. A short hopper brought in by Robertson. Good that the hit and run was on. Espinosa is safe at second base. There's now two outs. But Junior Caminero, a great play down at third. Sliding, picking that ball, doing a 360 spin, and getting the throw at first. And Robertson completing the back half of that throw.
Great defense all series long from Charleston. We saw a couple of highlight reel plays from Ryan Spikes throughout the week. Carson Williams gives you some great defense as well at short. But Junior Caminero easily saving a base hit with that play. And whole different inning now with two away as opposed to first and second with only one out.
Zach Cole holds that bat out in front, and time is called. No, pitch clock violation on Cameron Fields. Zach Cole has walked today, one of just two walks given up by Antonio Jimenez over five innings. Here's the pitch. A fastball up and away gets to 2-0, and now Nate Perry going to go to the mound and calm down Fields after he fell behind due to the violation. Final line for the Charleston starter, by the way. Jimenez is in line for win number 10 of his season. He goes five innings, allows two hits, two runs, one earned, two walks, and seven strikeouts. He did give up the home run to Colin Price in the second inning. Jimenez threw 85 pitches and 50 for strikes. After meeting on the mound, Cole swings at what would have been ball three, a changeup below the zone. And he's still in front, 2-1. Cole also a pop out to third, so officially 0-1 in the book. The bottom five hitters in the Woodpeckers order, Whitaker through McGowan, still without a base hit in this game. Only three in total for the Woodpeckers lineup card. 2-1, and Cole rips through a breaker. That was a slider that bottomed out. 2-2. Fayetteville had a run in the second and a run in the third that briefly tied the game 2-2 before the solo home run from Junior Caminero made it 3-2 where we stand. A pickup of that left leg and Field spins around, looks Espinosa back to second base. In the seventh, it'll be Nate Perry, Dywer Castellanos, and Shane Sasaki, the 8-9-1, to face Zach Matthews or potentially a new arm. Here's the 2-2 pitch. And Cole foul tipped. Perry couldn't hold it. Popped out of the mitt, and the at-bat will stay alive for Cole.
A lot of lengthy at-bats from the Woodpeckers in this inning. Espinosa prevailed, and Cole trying to do the same. Base hit with Espinosa's speed. Very well tied this game up.
No doubt. Yeah, Cole trying to find the outfield somewhere. Out of the stretch, the 2-2 is outside. And it's now a full count, 3-2. Woodpeckers have kept it competitive tonight, keeping it at a one-run game. Yesterday, it was tied 1-1 through four, and then Charleston broke out for the big inning. Generally, when they've won games this week, they've had that giant inning where they've batted around. They haven't tonight, though. Runner on the move to third. The pitch is down in the dirt. Cole draws the walk, and Espinosa gets down to third base.
Just been so impressed with Zach Cole's patience since he's been here in Fayetteville. Cut down on the strikeouts as the series have come and gone, and just more and more walks he's drawing. Yeah, he hasn't been hitting the ball as much as he probably would have liked, but he's getting on base at such a high rate that he's become a real valuable asset to this Woodpeckers lineup.
So here's the seven hitter and switch hitter, Tommy Sacco. He's in from the left side. The first pitch from Fields is high and outside. 92-mile-per-hour fastball. It's 1-0.
And I'd be shocked, Chappie, if Cole wasn't in motion to try to get the go-ahead run in scoring position with two down.
He's only been caught once all year. And here's the pitch to Sacco. It missed down to the dirt. Two balls, no strikes. I think with Fields and his walk issues that he's had this year, the walk to Cole, his 34th compared to 35 strikeouts. I think you have to be extra patient right now if you're Tommy Sacco, and now a meeting on the mound. Looks like Charleston pitching coach R.C. Lichtenstein is back in the building.
Not nearly as fast as his replacement was for the last couple of days.
Yeah, the Tampa Bay Rays, or the, I should say the River Dogs, had a replacement in for R.C. Lichtenstein the last few days. Every coach gets a little bit of vacation time. And Rolando Garza had been filling in for the pitching coach. He's the Tampa Bay Rays pitching coordinator. But now R.C. is back. Didn't even see him down there in the dugout, actually, up until now. Just realized he was back in town, walking out to the mound.
That's usually a good sign for your pitching staff if you don't see the pitching coach out there too often.
Not often you see the mid-at-bat meeting on the mound either in a pressure spot like this. Tying run at third in a 3-2 game. Go-ahead run at first. Two outs in the bottom of the sixth. Tommy Sacco ahead 2-0. Here's the kick and delivery. Swings at a changeup. And that gets him to 2-1. Tommy Sacco 0-2. Line out to center and a ground out to short. On the series, he's just 1-13. His lone hit a double. And he does not yet have an RBI. A spin and a throw over to first. They want to check up on the go-ahead runner, Cole. He dives back in. Here comes the 2-1. Cole breaking for second base. Tommy Sacco swings, hits it to right. Manzueta has it locked, and he hardly has to move. He makes the catch at the shoulder, and the inning is over. Woodpeckers put runners on the corners. They threaten but do not score, and they still trail 3-2 through six innings. We go to the top of the seventh next on the home of the Woodpeckers, FanDuelWoodpeckers.com and MILB.TV.
Kiss Cam. Kiss Cam. Three in a row. I'm sipping with Kiss Cam in a robe. I look too good to be alone. My house clean, my pool warm, just shake. Kiss Cam. We should be dancing, romancing in the east wing and the west wing of this mansion. Kiss Cam. Kiss Cam. I'ma leave the door open, girl. I'ma leave the door open. Kiss Cam.
That you feel the way I feel.
Kiss Cam.
Want you to know, baby. Tell me that you're coming.
Kiss Cam. Fans, this Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Coldwell Banker. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 46, Walker Brockhouse. Fans, it's time for the Budweiser Zero last call for any alcohol. Alcohol purchases at our concession stands will be cut off at the start of the eighth inning. Last call. Last call for alcohol.
This is God's country. We pray for rain and thank him when it's falling, because it brings a grain and a little bit of money. We put it back in a plate. I guess that's why they call it God's country. I saw the light in a sunrise sitting back in a 40 on the muddy river.
Leading off the top of the seventh inning for the River Dogs, the catcher, number 28, Nathan Perry.
Nate Perry leads off the top of the seventh inning of a 3-2 game in Fayetteville. Right-hander Walker Brockhouse is out on the mound. His 2022 debut with the Woodpeckers, and to tell you more about him, here is Colin Casey.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Brockhouse comes down and in on Nate Perry, former teammate. Is that right?
Yeah, would have been a little crossover there.
These two spent time with each other last year in Fayetteville. That one misses low in Brockhouse. exchanging a baseball out. Hawker Brockhaus going to the University of Memphis, 23 years old, hailing from initially attending Rend Lake College. As a swing and a miss, 2-2 now on Perry. But Brockhaus last season with Fayetteville 0-1 with a 3.00 ERA in 10 games with the Woodpeckers over 15 innings. This season in the FCL, 3-3 with a 3.83 earned run average over 40 innings. 3-2, fastball inside at 92, and Perry ducks out of the way, draws a leadoff walk. So the first batter that Walker Brockhaus faces in his return to Segra Stadium reaches on a free pass. So it'll be the nine-hitter, Dywer Castellanos. 0-2 so far, a pair of groundouts. Ends up being just one inning for Zach Matthews, but it was a good one. Retired the side in order with a pair of strikeouts. Sliced off to the left, out of play. Castellanos down to the count, 0-1. Yeah, Brockhaus, 3 years at the University of Memphis for the Tigers. Went 0-2 with a 6.75 ERA with Memphis. Fouled straight back. But a very impressive strikeout to walk ratio there, 88 compared to 49. And has proven his worth with the Houston Astros organization after going undrafted. Brockhaus with the 0-2 in the dirt, and no chase from Castellanos. River Dogs trying to secure a series victory over the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. They have taken 3 of 4 to be in this week's series, which wraps up tomorrow afternoon. The 1-2, another high fastball. 3 runs on 5 hits, no errors for the visiting River Dogs. 2 runs on 3 hits and 1 error for Fayetteville. Perry leads off first. The 2-2. Lined into shallow left field. It drops in front of Espinosa. And Castellanos aboard with the single. So the first two batters that Walker Brockhaus faces have reached base. And now it's time for the top of the order. Shane Sasaki up for the fourth time today. Wasn't very hard contact, just flared the other way by Castellanos. And again, with the River Dogs, the big inning always looming around every corner. We saw Dalen Miley in the fourth inning escape what looked like was going to be a big inning for the River Dogs after Junior Caminero hit a go-ahead home run to lead off the inning before Blake Robertson singled and Brock Jones doubled to put second and third with nobody out. Miley got the last 3 outs of the inning. Fastball inside, hits the forearm of Sasaki, and that'll be a hit batter. Bases loaded, nobody out. And the return of Walker Brockhaus to Fayetteville has gotten off to a very interesting start. Going to be a big challenge for him to get out of this inning unscathed.
Yeah, and actually hit the outside of the right hand for Shane Sasaki. And I think he's doing a good job right now of trying to contain any showing of pain, but instantly showing it to the trainer. And he got hit in a vulnerable spot, unfortunately. He doesn't wear a hand guard on top of that right hand. It looks like either the ring finger or the pinky finger of that hand is what they're checking out. Or just the maybe the outside of the hand,
yeah.
The palm.
Could be the wrist, too. They're let's hold on to that right forearm. That is Ruben Santiago, the River Dogs trainer. And again, hopefully he's all right. Shane Sasaki coming off back-to-back Carolina League Player of the Week awards. A vital piece to this offense. In the meantime, pitching coach John Kovalik went out and talked with Brockhaus. try to settle him down as the Woodpeckers still look for the first out of the inning with the bases loaded. Saki handing off his equipment, and he will head on down to first base. So his speed stays in the ballgame for the time being. And they're loaded for a man with 17 home runs on the season, Carson Williams. Brockhouse will have to climb Mount Everest to get out of this inning with it still being a one-run ball game. Infield at double play depth for Fayetteville. Williams 0 for 3 tonight with a pair of strikeouts. Fastball down and in. Williams, first rounder from last year, 28th overall. A chance to break this game open. Time is called, and he steps out. Nathan Perry at third, Dyer Castellanos at second, Shane Sasaki at first. A wave and a miss, 93 that time from Brockhouse. Fourth pitcher in this ballgame after Daylon Miley went four innings to begin it for Fayetteville. Struck out seven batters, another outing where Daylon had that strikeout pitch working. 1-1, Williams hits on the ground to third. DeCenzo throws home with it. Robleski back to first, and the Woodpeckers get a timely double play. 5-2-3, a twin killing, and Brockhouse with a much-needed couple of outs that might have completely changed the complexion of this top of the seventh inning.
Just, yeah, exactly what you need. Anything on the middle infield, and yeah, maybe they're turning two, but that run scoring, and then you have a two-run game. That's exactly what you wanted. The chopper that leads DeCenzo to the plate. Perfect throw to Robleski. He just dragged that foot across home and delivered a strike on the inside of the foul line away from the base runner to bring it to McGowan. Perfectly executed by the corner infielders and the man behind the plate. And, of course, Brockhouse, who got the contact he was looking for.
It was Perry who was cut down at the plate. Castellanos moves to third. Sasaki at second. Two away. Ryan spikes the batter down 0-1 in the count. He has struck out twice but walked his last time up. That coming in the fifth inning. And Brockhouse will step off. Talk about a big-time momentum boost for the Woodpeckers if they can get out of this inning with no runs scored. Go back to the plate. Trailing by one with nine outs to work with. Brockhouse off speed up and in. Sun slowly setting on downtown Fayetteville as the month of August slowly comes to an end. 1-1, Spikes fouls it off, and that one clipped Robleski as he shakes off the leg guard. Brockhouse one strike away from escaping. The bottom of the seventh, it'll be 8-9-1 due up. Robleski, McGowan, and Lofton for the Woodpeckers. Brockhouse gets the sign from the stretch. The 1-2. Fastball, breaking ball rather, down and away. Knocked down by Robleski. Brockhouse gets himself a new baseball. These games really of importance for the River Dogs down the stretch, holding a 3.5 game lead in the South Division, trying to secure a playoff spot. 2-2. A little bit high. The count now full on Spikes. Cleanup man Junior Caminero on deck. He has already homered this evening. Payoff pitch. Hit up the first baseline. McCowan has it, steps on the bag, and the Woodpeckers get out of the inning. A bases loaded, nobody out jam for Walker Brockhouse. He gets a timely double play ball and a ground out to end the inning. Incredible from Brockhouse in his return to Fayetteville. Charleston leaves a pair on. We head to the stretch. Still a 3-2 lead for the River Dogs on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Take Sing a little louder. I sow its root peckers. Say it loud. At the old, atta boy, peckers, atta boy.
There's a place you can go, I said, young man. When you're short on your dough, you can stay there. And I'm sure you will find many ways to have a good time. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. They have everything for your men to enjoy. You can hang out with all the boys. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. It's
a little louder.
Mound for the River Dogs, Cameron Fields.
Does it all by himself, I said, young man.
Leading off the bottom of the seventh inning for the Woodpeckers, the catcher, number 17, Ryan Robleski.
All these foreigns automatic, they know where we come from, now they see us living lavish. And not a feeling.
Woodpeckers hanging around on this Saturday evening. The top team in the South Division, the Charleston River Dogs, 3-2. Charleston leads, fastball high, coming from Cameron Fields to the catcher, Ryan Robleski. Fields in his second inning on the mound. Gave up a couple of base runners in the sixth, but was able to pitch his way out of it. Woodpeckers stranding both runners on. They've left five on so far in the ballgame. 1-1 to Robleski. The ground out and a walk on the ledger for him. 1-1 and Robleski, it's a towering fly ball, and it will hook foul onto the train tracks. Robleski's still trying to get that swing in order, hitting just over 100 since joining the Woodpeckers during the last home series against Down East. The 1-2, and he's out in front and strikes out swinging. So Fields, for the second straight inning, retires the first batter he faces. And with one away, in steps the nine hitter, Garrett McGowan.
We saw in the sixth that the approach to taking on Cameron Fields is to try and work a long at bat. That's what Espinoza did. Zach Cole did as well with that long walk. And so far, Fayetteville's had base runners on in just about every inning, but hasn't really had a big swing, run-producing swing outside of the Price home run. See if that can change.
McGowan 0-for-1, a hit by pitch and a run scored and strikeout for the big lefty hailing from Pittsburgh State University in Pittsburgh, Kansas. Two balls, no strikes. Fields working exclusively from the stretch, and he misses low, 3-0. Jackson Lofton looking for redemption on deck. He's got a hat trick in just three at-bats tonight. 3-0, and McGowan takes a strike on the outer half. But around the Carolina League, a battle in the North Division between the Fredericksburg Nationals, Down East Wood Ducks. Fredericksburg leading 4-3 in the top of the fourth over the Wood Ducks. McGowan chops it foul. Count now full. Game concerning River Dogs fans is Columbia Fireflies hosting the Salem Red Sox. Columbia leads 3-1 at the end of four. So putting the pressure on Charleston once again are the Fireflies. Payoff pitch. McGowan chases after it, and it's back-to-back strikeouts to begin the seventh inning for Cameron Fields.
Yeah, and that's pitching up against a wall there for Cameron Fields. You know, he's 3-0, and he knows that McGowan's probably taking that fourth pitch, so you find the touch with a fastball down the middle, and then had the nerve to go with the breaking stuff, the changeup to finish him off. It's a really good battle by Cameron Fields, and he started to find the location when he was up against it.
Jackson Lofton takes strike one. Quick start for the Kannapolis Cannonballers at home at Atrium Health Ballpark. They lead 4-0 over the Carolina Mudcats, who are trying to keep pace with the Fred Nats in the North Division. Lofton fouls it back, 0-2. 1-0 lead for the Augusta Green Jackets in Myrtle Beach. That game in the top of the sixth inning. Augusta also threatening. They have the bases loaded with two outs. One other game going on, just underway from Delmarva. 1-0 lead for the Shorebirds over the Lynchburg Hillcats as Jackson Lofton strikes out for the fourth time tonight. And Cameron Fields strikes out the side in the bottom of the seventh inning to keep it a 3-2 lead for the Charleston River Dogs as we go to the eighth inning from Segra Stadium. You're catching all the action right here, FanforWoodpeckers.com and MILB.TV.
Thank you, sir. I'm here with Alyssa, representing Pine Forest Middle School. How are you today, my dear?
Good.
Are you ready? Your job, she's an easy one. All you got to do is tell me how many people are here at the game tonight. You ready? All right, let's take a look at the video board. Here are your guesses. 3,421, 3,872, or 3,697. Is it A, B, or C, young lady?
C?
She's going with C. Is she correct? Oh, Alyssa. That's okay, baby. Give me a big go, Peckers.
Go, Peckers.
That's right.
Inning for the River Dogs, the third baseman, number 37, Junior Caminero.
A Saturday night crowd of 3,872 here at Segra Stadium, sticking around for the conclusion of this matchup between the Charleston River Dogs and the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. 3-2 Charleston as we enter the eighth inning. Walker Brockhouse misses inside to Junior Caminero. And to take us through the conclusion on the play-by-play, here's the voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
All right, thank you, Colin. The 1-0 pitch is a fastball on the outside corner, called strike one, 1-1. Charleston trying for the series win, attempting to take four of the first five games, and the Woodpeckers still trying for a split. They need a win tonight and tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock Sunday, first pitch in the series conclusion. So 2-1 now on Caminero as the pitch missed low. Happy college football season, by the way, Colin.
Yep.
Kickoff today in Dublin, Ireland. First college football game of the year, so I'm sure a lot of North Carolina State fans in the area are hyped for the changing of the seasons and the football season here. Duke football, too. Got to give them a shout-out. Bouncing ball left side. That's a foul ball. ECU football. All good fan bases around the area.
My UMass Minutemen.
Yep.
Hoping to turn the corner this year. They open up next week against Tulane.
Here's the payoff pitch. A line drive hit into center field. It's down for at least a single. Caminero gets to first, and he will stop there. The leadoff base hit. Mild contact from Caminero. His second barreled baseball today. Go along with the line drive home run he hit to left back in the fourth. He's now 2-for-4.
Number 12, Blake Robertson.
Now, Blake Robertson. I don't have too high of expectations for my Arizona State Sun Devils this year. We got a quarterback change as a fly ball is hit out into center. Jacob Melton with eyes on it, moving to his right, but it's actually Rolando Espinoza that makes the catch out in left. First ball that has found Espinoza tonight since coming on as a defensive replacement for Colin Price in the fifth. If you weren't with us earlier, Colin Price fouled a ball off the inside of his left leg. Completed the at-bat. He was able to stay in even after being looked at by the training staff, but they removed him afterward. Mostly as a precautionary reason, we hope. Left-hander is Brock Jones. And the first one to him is taken knee-high for a slider strike. Good pitch by Brockhaus. Got out of a bases-loaded jam in the seventh inning. With nobody out, he had a 5-2-3 double play, third to catcher to first to save the run, and then a ground out to McGowan at first base. Runner on the move to second. The pitch is high. Throw from Robleski. Sails into center field. Caminero went hard into the second base bag. He's a little shaken up, still on the ground. Couldn't get to his feet to advance to third. And now he may have an injury stoppage.
He's still prone behind the bag. It was going to be a tough play for Robleski, even with a good throw, and he ended up airmailing it. Don't know if he might have been stepped upon or anything, or if he might have jammed his arm as he got his hand on the bag, but he's getting to his feet, so hopefully he's okay. But a lot of guys getting banged up in this ball game. Oh, we got the water bottle coming out. Maybe something in his eye, potentially?
That's what I was thinking. Might have gotten some water in the eye or face area. And his manager, Blake Butera, bringing him some water out there to help him out.
Yeah, wiping his face up a little bit.
Will be a stolen base. No error on Robleski as Caminero holds at second base. Well, the Houston Astros just started up tonight. They are taking on the Baltimore Orioles, an American League wild card contender tonight in Houston at Minute Maid. And they're just going in the top of the first inning. Orioles with a couple of runners on and two outs against Astros starter Jose Urquidy.
Those two teams believe if they were to meet in the playoffs, if Baltimore does get in, that'd be the first time ever. Unless they met in the World Series, I don't think they did, but
yeah,
they certainly haven't since Houston has transferred over to the American League.
81-46 Houston Astros, the best record in the American League. We'll give you some updates as that one goes along in the later stages of our ball game after the injury timeout or dirt in the eye timeout, whatever might have been there at second base. Junior Caminero, he is able to continue on, and Brock Jones is the lefty in, and he's in a 1-1 count. Brockhaus set at the chest, and after a long pause of pitching, he misses low. Two balls and one strike. We were on the topic of college football, of course, and Brock Jones, he was a football player coming out of high school, an incredibly talented multi-sport athlete in high school, and went to Stanford not only as a baseball player but also to play for the football team. Brockhaus throws the 2-1. And Jones takes a strike on the lower inside corner, 93-mile-per-hour fastball. Jones played for the football team his freshman year. He played safety. And then after 1 year with the football team, he decided to commit fully to baseball, and that's where the baseball career really took off. Finished his final season at Stanford with 21 home runs and a .324 average. He goes down swinging. A changeup from Brockhaus gets him. Two away in the top of the eighth inning. And a nice bounce back by Brockhaus following the long stoppage.
All he's been doing is bouncing back.
Yep.
River Dogs load the bases in the seventh inning. He gets a big double play and the ground out to get out of it. Caminero ends up on second base and is able to respond pretty well to that. Punches out Jones, a very tough hitter to get out.
First pitch down in the dirt to O'Neill Manzueta, who's been circling the bases tonight and also sent packing back to the dugout. He hit a two-run home run in the second, but has struck out in each of his last two plate appearances against Dalen Miley and Zach Matthews, both times looking. 35th pitch for Brockhaus coming up here. The 1-0. A pop fly, right side, shallow right field. McGowan going out, gives way to Tommy Sacco hustling over towards the foul line, and the second baseman secures it for the final out of the inning. No damage done after the leadoff single. Walker Brockhaus sits down three straight, leaves the man in scoring position, and it's a 3-2 Charleston lead. Going to the home eight when we return on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
On the mound for the River Dogs, Cameron Fields. Leading off the bottom of the eighth inning for the Woodpeckers, the center fielder, number 31, Jacob Melton.
We are in the bottom of the eighth inning, and this game has been scoreless since the top of the fourth. A 3-2 Charleston lead. And the first pitch to left-hander Jacob Melton, outside run to the backstop, 1-0. The last run in the top of the fourth came on a solo go-ahead home run from Junior Caminero. And all zeros through the fifth, sixth, and seventh. Walker Brockhaus left a man on in the eighth. And Jacob Melton gets hit by the pitch. That runs inside and clips him on the right leg. A slider that started very far inside for Fields and ended up in the side of Melton. He'll reach base for a second time tonight. That is the first hit by pitch, second hit by pitch tonight for Charleston. Garrett McGowan has also been plunked. He got grazed in the back of the helmet back in the third. So Melton on, tying runner aboard again for the Woodpeckers. First leadoff base runner they've had though since the fifth. And Melton is off right away. Ground ball left side. That's in the left field. Melton touches second, and he's going to third. Runners now stand on the corner. Zach DiZenzo attacks the first pitch and gets the tying run 90 feet away.
That move over Tyler Whitaker and Kennedy Corona. Zach DiZenzo in what could have been possibly his final at-bat of the game extends the hitting streak to 12 games. And his next appearance, he'll try to set the longest mark of the season. But more importantly, he moves the tying run to third base in Melton, and he's now represents the go-ahead run. We've seen it all series long, Chappie. Fayetteville threatening late in the ball game.
Rolando Espinoza aggressive on the first one. Swings at a low slider. 0-1. A little surprised to still see Cameron Fields in this game here in the eighth after a laborious sixth. He did strike out the side in order in the seventh, but he had to throw a lot of pitches to do so. Here's the offering, and a bouncing ball hit towards second base. It's fielded by Spikes. He comes to the plate, and Melton is tagged out by Perry, sliding in. Melton was breaking on first contact. Spikes, the second baseman, was playing shallow. He fielded that ball on the fringe of the grass and made sure he saved the tying run, preserving the Charleston 3-2 lead. I don't know about running there, Colin. Nobody out. You don't necessarily have to go on first contact, especially when that infield's playing shallow.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there. I think Melton was just ready to go on anything up the middle and thought that ball was going to get through the second baseman spikes, but it was hit right to him, and the throw got home plenty of time.
And now it is Tyler Whitaker. First pitch low to him, and it's one ball and no strikes.
At the very least, the way you think about it is you only lose 90 feet on the base paths with DeCenzo now at second base. You still have a runner at first and a very capable hitter at the plate in Tyler Whitaker.
Here comes the 1-0 to Witt, and he takes down low. Whitaker hit one deep to center field back in the second inning that died on the warning track. Jones was able to track it down. And he's put the ball in play all three times despite being 0-for-3. He also has a couple of ground outs to third. In the sixth inning, Caminero made a nice sliding play on a ground ball to retire Whitaker. Double steal, both runners off, and no throw. Everybody is safe. DeCenzo goes to third. Espinoza trails him to second. The pitch was outside, and Nate Perry didn't have a chance to get one down to a bag.
It's massive. Now you're back in a situation where all you need is a fly ball, and Whitaker, the way he's been swinging the bat in August, he's the guy who can provide you that.
Like they were a moment ago, the infield back to playing in on the grass. Pitch to Whitaker is in the dirt. He draws a four-pitch walk to load up the bases in the bottom of the eighth with one out and bring up Zach Cole. Charleston manager Blake Butera on the top step of the dugout, but not walking out at the moment. Bullpen is warming, but scratch that. Butera now going to the mound. Looks like the River Dogs are going to make a change and put an end to Fields here.
Yeah, not surprised there with how the inning has gone for him. Got that big force out at the plate, but immediately walked Whitaker. Granted, could be a blessing in disguise for the River Dogs with how Whitaker's been playing, but you got Zach Cole waiting on the other side. Bases loaded. It's coming down to another late inning situation, yep. Chappie, as it seemingly has throughout a lot of the games throughout this series.
Well, Woodpecker scored a couple of runs in the eighth inning of their win on Wednesday night to go on and win 3-0 tonight. They're trying to tie or take the lead, trailing 3-2. We'll tell you about the new right-hander when we return in a moment on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
This River Dogs pitching change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Entering the game for the River Dogs, number 39, Roel Garcia.
Bases loaded in the bottom of the eighth inning, and left-hander Zach Cole stepping in to face the new Charleston right-hander, Roel Garcia. And the first pitch to Cole is swung on and missed. A fastball, and it is 0-1. Cameron Fields done after 2 1/3 innings pitched. In this inning, he hit a batter, gave up a single fielder's choice and a walk. There was an out recorded at the plate when Jacob Melton broke home And now a foul into the netting. Melton tried to score on a ground ball towards second base from Rolando Espinoza. Spikes was playing shallow and threw out Melton at the plate. Nate Perry tagged him out. Roel Garcia pitching for the second time this week. He has a 3.38 ERA over just two appearances for Charleston, and he has recorded one save. Pitch to Cole is a little bit low, and it is one and two. Tough take. Garcia pitching for the second time this week in Fayetteville. Tossed on Tuesday in the opener, went an inning and two thirds, and the Woodpeckers did get a run against him and connected for four hits. He did strike out three. Pitch to Cole is fisted foul, left side. And the count will stay where it is at one ball and two strikes. Cole has been a patient hitter today in the sixth spot, a pop out to third, but he's walked in each of his last two plate appearances. Altogether 0 for 1. DiZenzo, the runner at third, Espinoza at second. He's the go-ahead run, and Whitaker at first. Pitch to Cole is up and outside. Two balls and two strikes.
The longer this at-bat goes on, the more it favors Zach Cole. We've seen him work deep counts and be able to draw walks when it seemed like he was on the ropes and left for dead.
Here's the set, the 2-2, and a slider bends around the corner, gets Cole looking. Rung up by Stephen Kreis for a big out, number two. And that is the 11th strikeout tonight for the Fayetteville lineup. And now it's Tommy Sacco.
None bigger than that one, though, so far. Garcia comes in, tough situation as a reliever, and immediately gets the big second out.
Sacco has put the ball in play all three times. First pitch, he swings through a breaking ball. A fly out to right field back in the sixth inning. It feels like Tommy Sacco continues to find these big pressure spots late in games. On Tuesday night, he batted in the ninth inning with the bases loaded, the 0-1, and a fastball strike. His last time up, he had the tying run on third base, the go-ahead run on first, and he flied out to deep right field. He's behind 0-2. Roel Garcia trying to come on in a pressured pack spot and get to the ninth. Sacco ready, the 0-2 pitch. He swings and hits a line drive, foul left side. That was 95, right down the middle of the zone. And Sacco just a little late timing it up, but he got the barrel on the ball. Garcia likes to work fast. He gets the sign from Perry. The target is set outside, and here comes another 0-2, and Sacco strikes out swinging. The Woodpeckers come up short on their best chance so far tonight. They load the bases but do not bring anyone in, and they still trail by a run. 3-2 River Dogs as we go to the top of the ninth on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Paw Patrol jerseys. Plus, fans can bring their dogs to the ballpark for $1 with proof of vaccination. The specialty jerseys will be available for purchase both online and during the game. These jerseys are first come, first serve. So make sure to get your tickets now.
There's a place on the corner of Cherry Street. We would walk on the beach in our bare feet. We were both 18 and it felt so right. Sleeping all day, staying up all night. Staying up all night.
On the mound for the Woodpeckers, Walker Brockhouse.
leading off the top of the ninth inning for the River Dogs. Their catcher, number 28, Nathan Perry.
Where the stars light up the night underneath that Texas sky. Welcome to the show.
It's the top of the ninth inning at Segres Stadium on a Saturday night. Woodpeckers trail the River Dogs 3-2. Our closest ball game yet in this six-game series. Nathan Perry is the lefty in. The former Woodpecker down to the count 0-1, facing off against right-hander Walker Brockhaus. The fastball is elevated, and the count is 1-1. Woodpeckers have had chances in just about every inning to tie the game or take the lead since they went down 3-2 on the Caminero home run in the fourth. Pitch down to the dirt. Woodpeckers have been set down 1-2-3 in order just twice tonight. That was in the first and in the seventh inning. But they had the tying run on third base in the sixth inning and the bases loaded in the eighth inning. They could not bring a run home. The 2-1. Perry looks at a fastball. It's called strike two. 94 right at the knees. Next pitch will be number 40 for Walker Brockhaus. A slight shift on the infield. DeZenzo over towards short. Perry goes down, swinging at one in the dirt. Strike three. Brockhaus picks up his second strikeout since coming on in the seventh inning behind Zach Matthews. And now it's Dyware Castellanos at the bottom of the order. The nine hitter, 1-for-3 with a single back in the seventh against Walker.
It hasn't been the cleanest return for Brockhaus to the single-A level, but, man, when he's needed to make a big pitch, he has done it every single time tonight.
Here's a line drive pushed to the left side, and it's foul. Castellanos starts behind 0-1. Woodpeckers pitching staff in double digits now with the strikeouts. They have 12 of them. On the offensive side, the Woodpeckers have also struck out 12 times. Here's a fly ball hit deep but foul, hooking right side and onto the concourse. 0-2 on Castellanos. Brockhaus gets ahead. Walker worked around a base runner in the eighth, and he did so in the seventh as well. He has left four stranded over two innings of work. Huge spot to get out of in the seventh. Bases loaded, nobody out. Swinging a foul straight into the net. Still 0-2 on Castellanos. You're looking at that spot right there, and you're thinking game may be over with one more big Charleston swing. Bases loaded, nobody out, and Brockhaus gets the double play, third to home to first, and then a ground out to McGowan ending the inning. It's giving the Woodpeckers a chance to come from behind. The 0-2, a line drive towards the middle, but perfectly placed is Jackson Lofton in the shallow center field grass. He makes the catch at the chest. Shift pays off. You had DeZenzo towards third, towards the short, that is, off the third baseline. Lofton moved over towards the middle. And Castellanos went right into it.
Not to get ahead of ourselves, Chappie, but you look to the bottom of the ninth inning, the three guys due up, Ryan Robleski, Garrett McGowan, and Jackson Lofton. They all batted in the seventh inning and were struck out in order by Cameron Fields. So a chance at redemption if they're able to go into that inning with the Woodpeckers trailing by only a run.
Now it's Kenny Piper. He is pinch hitting for Shane Sasaki, who was hit in the hand his last time up in the seventh. He was examined by the trainer, stayed in the game, but has since been removed. Pitch over the middle, quickly 0-2. That would be a big loss for Charleston if they lose Sasaki for any significant period of time. Of course, a hand injury could be a serious one. Here's a chopper hit out towards third. DeZenzo plays it on one high hop. He steps firm on the grass, throws to first. The inning is over. A 1-2-3 ninth caps three scoreless innings from Walker Brockhaus in his 2022 Fayetteville debut. One more chance for Fayetteville to tie or win the game. We go bottom nine. It'll be Robleski, McGowan, and Lofton, the 8-9-1, coming to bat when we return on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
I can tell you all about it. I mean, look at this thing. When it's right.
for the River Dogs, Roel Garcia.
All these foreigners automatic.
Leading off the bottom of the ninth inning for the Woodpeckers, the catcher, number 17.
Thanks for being with us tonight. Saturday night baseball in the bottom of the ninth inning from Segra Stadium. It's Ryan Wroblewski leading off against the right-hander Roel Garcia, who came on in the eighth inning behind Cameron Fields and got two huge strikeouts to leave the Fayetteville bases loaded and keep the game at 3-2 Charleston. The 0-1 pitch to Wroblewski is a changeup on the inside, called strike two. Wroblewski will be followed by Garrett McGowan and then Jackson Lofton. Wroblewski 0 for 2 with a walk and a strikeout. Infield playing him straight up. And now the 0-2 pitch. It is called strike three. McGowan was looking for something else. A twitch of the knees, and he goes down looking. Roel Garcia has struck out all three batters he's faced since coming on out of the bullpen.
And the Woodpeckers trying to overcome the odds in the bottom of the ninth inning here. 52 times they have trailed entering the ninth inning this season, and they have lost all 52 games this year.
Here is Garrett McGowan, and the pitch his way is grounded out towards second base. Routine for spikes. The pickup and the putout, two gone. Fourth time through the order complete. Jackson Lofton stepping up for a fifth time. The Woodpeckers had just one base hit the fourth time through the order. That was the single from Zach DiZenzo that extended his hitting streak to 12 games. And the final chance tonight comes down to Jackson Lofton, who is 0 for 4 with four strikeouts. First pitch from Garcia. A line drive hit to the right side, and that'll put an end to that tough night for Jackson Lofton. He extends the game with an opposite field single. And that's the one he can think about by night's end.
What a great vote of confidence in your manager to give you that opportunity despite being 0 for 4 strikeouts. His objective was simple: get the game to the next batter in Jacob Melton.
So here is Melton, hit the ball hard back in the third inning on a line drive to right field. The first pitch to him is a changeup on the outside corner. It is 0-1. Melton has hit a couple of home runs in his Fayetteville career. One here at home, one in Zebulon against the Carolina Mudcats. The 0-1 pitch, and he swings at a fastball. He's quickly down, nothing and two. 94 from Roel Garcia. Melton's reached twice on that single and a hit by pitch. The Astros' second rounder from 2022, ready from the left side, and here's the pitch home. He swings and strikes out. This ball game is over, and Roel Garcia able to K five batters out of the bullpen to lock up his second save of the year. A go-ahead home run in the fourth inning for Charleston tonight from Junior Caminero, enough to take Charleston the rest of the way. 3-2 the final. Charleston has won 4 of 5 this week in Fayetteville and won this series prior to the Sunday conclusion. Tough one tonight for Fayetteville. They had their chances down the stretch but couldn't bring them in. They fall by a run, and we'll talk about it all next on the Woodpeckers postgame show right here on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Stay tuned.
It's time to close the night with the Woodpeckers postgame show. Here's Andrew Chapman and Colin Casey.
Hey, Woodpeckers fans, welcome back inside the broadcast booth, and thanks again so much for making us a part of your Saturday night plans. Good baseball game down the stretch, very well pitched by both bullpens, but it's ultimately the Charleston River Dogs tonight that win their third in a row over Fayetteville, their fourth here this week at Segres Stadium, and officially win this series by a close 3-2 final, the closest game run-wise this week, and the Woodpeckers, Colin, were in it throughout. You know, yesterday they were tied for 1-1 over four innings, and it was that big getaway inning that Charleston had that helped them run away with the game. A couple of lopsided scores the last two nights, but tonight the Woodpeckers pitching and the bullpen did enough to keep Charleston off that big inning, you know, that big bat-around type of inning that they've used all week long, it seems, and a close game down the stretch where the Woodpeckers had a ton of opportunities, but in the end, it's Roel Garcia that comes on and strikes out two critical batters, Zach Cole and Tommy Sacco, with the bases loaded in the eighth inning. Then gets two more in a shutdown ninth and earns his second save to lock up this game. There's some positives to take from Fayetteville in that they gave themselves chances. They put runners on multiple occasions there down the stretch. Walker Brockhaus looked lights out in his day, exactly. 2022 debut with Fayetteville. Andre Scrub, the rehabber, pitched a clean sixth and a fifth. And I thought Zach Matthews looked really sharp coming off the injury list. First time we've seen him on the mound in over 2 months at Segres Stadium. So there's some positives to take there from the bullpen, but just we're looking for that one big hit late, and it never came.
Yeah, really, that's what it comes down to. But there was some clutch pitching from both teams throughout that game. Dalen Miley as well, he gave up a couple of home runs, but still managed to go four innings, struck out seven batters, and at the time got a couple of big outs in that fourth inning to keep it a one-run ball game. And the hope was that eventually the Woodpeckers would scratch across that tying run. That run just never came, thanks to some big-time pitching from the River Dogs. You mentioned Walker Brockhaus, though. Three innings. You want talk about big time pitching, getting out of bases loaded, nobody out jam in the seventh inning, his first inning back in Fayetteville since last year. Very impressive stuff from him. His stuff also on the mound looked pretty good. Got a 1-2-3 ninth inning, thought it might have given the Woodpeckers some momentum, but not to be. And on the offensive side of things, Colin Price hit the home run to get the Woodpeckers on the board. Hopefully he's all right after getting banged up, fouling a ball off his leg, but good to see him breaking out some more of that power. And how about Zach DeCenzo, 12-game hitting streak tied for the season long by Fayetteville Woodpecker, able to get that going in his final AB. Jackson Lofton getting on base with a single after striking out four times to salvage a tough night at the plate for him. Looked like he might have gotten an opportunity, but in the end, Melton lost the battle against Garcia. It was a tough end of the ball game, as it has been a couple of times throughout this series, but still one more to go, and if you're Fayetteville, it'd be nice to get that final win on Sunday. It's always good to win on Sunday, close out a series with a victory before you head back out on the road next week to Kinston.
Yeah, the Woodpeckers have dropped all three series now against Charleston in the franchise head-to-head history going back to last year. But what the Woodpeckers have not done yet is win two games in a series against Charleston. They have a chance to do that tomorrow in the series conclusion. 2:05 p.m. baseball back at Segres Stadium. Right-hander Miguel Oyola is on the mound. He, every time he goes to the mound, has a chance to win a ball game for the Woodpeckers. He's pitched himself into prospect status this year, now the number 20 prospect in the Astros farm system. 2-2 record going into tomorrow, and a 3.36 ERA. He'll be opposed by right-hander Ober Galou, 10-2 with a 4.29 ERA. He's won a lot of ball games this year for Charleston with that 10-2 record. 10th win of the season tonight for Alejandro Jimenez as well for Charleston. He gets the win. Dalen Miley, the loss, falls to 3-8. And Roel Garcia gets his second save of the season for the Charleston River Dogs. That'll do it for us tonight in the booth. Thanks again so much for coming out to Segres Stadium, everybody. We hope you enjoyed your night, and we hope to see you tomorrow afternoon for a 2:05 first pitch. Colin and I will be on the air with you beginning at 1:50 on the Woodpeckers pregame show, FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com. The MILB first pitch app, or if you want to watch the broadcast in HD video, you can subscribe to MILB.TV. 3-2, the final score tonight. Charleston takes it by a slim one-run margin. That'll do it for us tonight. So long, everybody. Drive home safely and have a wonderful rest of your Saturday evening. We'll see you tomorrow out here at Segres. I'm trying to roll. I'm trying to ride.